Welcome to Fate Moon Archive, the best and only podcast about wading through 20 years of Type Moon. I'm your host, Fen. My pronouns are Fae Fair, and joining me is...
Oh, I have to do my bit again? I'm still Ben. I've always been Ben. I'm Ben Enns. And, did you say your pronouns again?
Yeah.
I'm they, she.
Today, we're covering two things which could be more different, but don't share much in common except for their brevity. Room of the April Witch, and the first and only volume of Koha Ace.
What?
But first...
Fen, there's too much Koha Ace for you to be pulling a trick like that. Why are you trying to... Our podcast is already so hard to fucking understand because of how much and how weird, Fen, like, the Type Moon shit is.
There is one volume of Koha Ace. The next volume is Koha Ace Plus.
Oh my fucking god. But when you say it like that, Fen, you make it more confusing on purpose. I know what you're doing.
But first, we have some tea to sip and some Carrots Yuri to talk about. It's Yuri tea time. We did not actually have any tea this morning. I was frantically... Oh, Ben...
I had a tea experience.
Yes.
We went out for hot pot last night for my birthday. Ooh, hot pot. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. It was so delicious. I'm still in pain because of how much spicy food I ate. But I would do it again right now.
Yes. Absolutely.
Anyway.
Hot pot's so fun.
Hot pot's very fun. But on the way back, we got some bubble tea because we were down in Chinatown. And I couldn't drink it because I was not feeling good. We got home, I put it in the fridge, and I was ready for it this morning. I take a sip and I get a boba. And somehow, the boba, I thought it would get soggy and like dissolve more or turn into big mush. But instead, what greeted me was... a hard little marble full of, like, dry malt mix, basically.
Ugh.
No one else had boba in their drink last night,
I found out.
Oh, you did? And yours were normal.
Yeah.
I've had boba from this place before, and they seem normal.
Yeah.
This was fucked up. This was weird.
So sorry.
I could, like, feel the, like, grainy texture on the inside.
Ugh.
I couldn't drink it. I'm so sorry, listener. I also don't have any... brand products on my desk. Any sodas?
It's been a while since I've had the Nya brand.
Like, do all your shopping. We could just cut that last bit.
Go listen to Friends of the Table for at least $1 on Patreon and listen to the most wanted and most unwanted songs Clapcast episode, because that is just an all-timer.
That's true. That is. I just listened to that one again recently. Yeah, so I had some tea. You were too busy for tea because both of us have been putting off our podcast homework because we were both going, it's all short stuff.
Okay, Ben, to be fair to me.
To be fair to you, who finished after me. Okay, yes. Yeah. Let's be fair to Fen.
If I hadn't had to put up the episode this morning, I would have finished in time.
Oh, yes. If you didn't have to do your job for the podcast, I see.
Well, yes,
Guess what, Fen? If I didn't have to edit the podcast all the way through...
You don't have to, but Fen. I understand. Yes, I know.
Technically,
we
don't have to do any of this, Fen.
Okay. We had talked about... I had expressed a desire to get episodes ready a week before they air.
Yes, Fen. And then it was my birthday week.
No!
Dentist appointment. Good news. I'm not losing that many teeth.
That's good. I am just saying that this is why I don't want work on Saturday mornings, because sometimes I have a little bit of podcast homework to finish up.
And that's all my fault.
No,
editing too slow. I see. That every episode for the past like 7 episodes.
Are we ever not punchy?
Okay, there are degrees to these things.
Yes.
But I'm in a great mood.
I do
because of the said aforementioned birthday. So.
I do wish that I had had tea. I woke up 2 days ago, drenched in sweat because it's been hot. We've had a terrible heat wave.
Terrible.
There was one day that it felt like 40 degrees outside. That is
Celsius.
I don't know what that is for you heathens who use Fahrenheit.
I think it's about 378 degrees.
So
if
woke up
that math right.
Sweaty, had a cramp in my leg so bad that I screamed into my pillow because it hurt so bad when I moved my leg.
Was I there?
No. I would have woken you up. It took me a while. This was also like 2 hours before my alarm went off.
Mm-hmm.
My alarm usually goes off. I ended up sleeping like for like 3 or 4 hours in the middle of the day because I had gotten such bad sleep the night before.
Mm-hmm.
My leg still hurts and I'm still catching up on sleep. So
yeah.
Apologies if I am a little low energy while Ben is just pummeling me.
It's one of those classic punching bag fan episodes. You're like the little gay clown that you can't knock over how hard you try.
What?
You know, when you punch the clown and it comes back up.
What? I'm sorry?
One sec.
Are you making a reference to something?
Yeah, the clown that you punch.
What clown?
The clown? What? You... punch, but it get back up. Yeah, there we go.
Okay. Did you send it on Discord?
I'm gonna send it to the recording chat.
Okay. I don't keep Discord open as the thing. Okay. Oh no! Terrible! Bad!
This is like a whole genre.
Oh,
this
I hate
this. This
is
like a classic toy. You've never seen this before?
I hate this. This is awful.
They're weighted at the bottom and inflated, so they like pop back up.
Okay, most of these are fine.
You just don't like that clown. You don't like Bozo.
The clown is bad.
I'm sorry. There's another couple pictures of Bozo I'm going to share with you.
Oh, no, Ben. Okay, that's not like... There's something about the like... 3/4, 2/3. Why is it being hugged?
Well, it's a warm, fuzzy toy.
I know it's not.
There's so many photos of Bozo. One sec.
Bozo does look a little bit like a Daikimura.
Yeah, it is kind of like a Daikimura.
I don't like this.
Okay, I'm out of Bozo pictures. There's other pictures.
I think the first one is still the worst. For me, there's something about the, like, 2/3, 3/4 angle on him.
The way it's, like, hovering in space.
Yeah, it's bad.
Oh, I did have something that I was going to say before we got into... Oh! Listener, guess what I did on the eve of, again, my birthday.
Oh, you finished Tsukihime.
I finished Tsukihime, A Piece
Remake.
Of Blue Glass Moon. The first half of the Tsukihime remake.
Yes.
The only half that exists currently. It is being released in a couple days. Now, if we were a hip and up-to-the-minute podcast, we would probably take a break from our coverage in order to cover the newly coming out massive visual novel.
That would be
cowardly. Cowardly, yes. We're not doing that. We will cover it in several years.
We have dedicated ourselves to... whatever the heck it is we covered for this episode, instead of doing something smart and topical.
Topical is for squares, Fen. Topical is for ointment, Fen. Sorry, I made myself laugh with that. I need a second. I will not be talking about my thoughts on Blue Glass Moon publicly. There is a if you are interested in a preview of how that pod episode is going to go, I have a channel in the Crying Rules Actually Discord where I have basically recapped the entire route with live reactions and discussion. You could go check that out. Or you could play Blue Glass Moon yourself and see how you feel. I'm pretty excited. I'm excited to talk about it with you, Fran. Oh, Legalize Noel.
I am also excited to talk about it. When we get there. I don't know what I'm excited to talk about. I just know that I am excited to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm excited for Red Garden, too. I'm going to read that when that comes out, too.
Heck yeah.
I'm be stunting on you.
Yeah, look at you go. This is not... This is nothing.
What?
But I am enjoying Tsuino Sora.
Yes, yes. These are our current Japanese language practice projects. I have to pick a new one now.
Yeah. We're going to cover that way sooner than...
That's true. We're going to cover that pretty soon, honestly. Is there anything else that I had to say about that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I wouldn't know, I guess, but...
Wanderers in the sky.
Okay, now we're finally getting there. Wanderers in the sky. This is probably the worst translated game that we've played.
It's pretty rough.
It's not good, I would say. Bad, even. One could say.
Let's see. There was...
Or worst translated altogether game.
This is our altogether jam game of the episode. Fen, will you recap what the altogether jam is for us?
Please go listen to episode 82.
No. Just come up with like a one sentence way of describing it.
Okay, Altogether Jam is a translation jam that ran in 2005, 6, and 8, and translated doujin, free doujin visual novels.
Okay.
Is that?
And we're covering it. We're doing them in as close to chronological order as we can, at least by year. You're so funny, Fen. If I say summarize something and you get mad, but if I say like do it in a 5-sentence summary format, you're like, whoa, hell yeah, okay, now it's a little puzzle.
Well, you challenged me. I am really enjoying puzzles.
Yes, you're doing a lot of puzzles lately. Okay, Wanderers in the Sky. We don't really have to go through this beat by beat, I don't think. Have you heard of the Sui no Sora, Fen?
If I'd had more time I would have downloaded the JP version of this just to see what kind of end sky they were talking about.
Okay, this is about a guy. You're kind of like putting together the story of what happened as you go along. It's pretty indistinct at first. It actually opens very similarly to Visions of the Other Side, you know what I mean? Mm. He's like wandering through the woods and like is depressed about losing something and disappears, etc., etc. But our guy, Takuya, ends up in this is the one bit of this that I was like, this is a very cool, like fun, highly specific concept of like a purgatory for specifically only people who are obsessed with the sky.
It's a good pitch.
Yes, that bit's fun. Very specific hells is always good. But yeah, this guy's got a lot going on. There's way more sprites than I expected there to be in this. Usually we see like one or two if we're lucky, you know.
Yeah,
like five or six in this.
The credits make it seem like
they might have been
the kind of like, oh yeah, here's the Unity asset store for sprites.
Yes.
I just made a bunch of like sprites of guys and some girls.
Guys and some girls who have their pants unbuttoned for some reason.
It's okay. This is the thing that stood out to me the most about this, is that horny art has come so far
This is the thing that many people would be saying as like an insult to anime character designs, that they've gotten more fetishistic as time has gone on to the point of being ridiculous.
I think it's like interesting more than mm-hmm. fetishistic is where I come down
mm-hmm.
on it. Interesting rather than, you can really tell that I'm tired, rather than an insult, it is like culture changes.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, there's like modern anime character design is either trying to put in so much unique detail to make the character stand out that you can't tell them apart from any of the other characters that are designed in the exact same way,
mm-hmm.
or so specifically targeting a specific fetish that you feel like you're going to be arrested just for looking at it. You know yes. what I mean? Whereas this is just like a girl in jeans with the buttons undone. And
her tummy out.
And her tummy out. And then like the little sister's got like one garter on or yes. something like that.
Yeah.
But like generally, but then she's just wearing like a big coat.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Doesn't really match her outfit. For a while I was like, does she have like a...
Okay.
Is that a bandage?
I had this conversation with a friend of the pod. You know who you are. I don't know if you want to be named in this conversation. It's not like a weird conversation. I'm just like
saying it kind of odd.
I don't want to like out my DMs with people if they don't like say okay.
Okay.
Okay. But
you're making it sound more suspicious. I don't know who you are, but are
she
you
sent
okay?
me. She sent me a picture of an anime girl in an oversized coat.
Yes.
And I was like, and said, "This is peak anime girl character design." And I was like, "Hell yeah, it is."
Wearing a big coat.
Yeah, yeah. Just like a small girl in an oversized coat.
Yeah.
Like an Amiya.
Mm-hmm.
A girl who clearly needs to grow into the coat that she's wearing.
Yes.
It's good.
I do like a big coat.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was just... Yeah.
It was a pretty normal conversation. I was expecting something weirder.
I just... Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Some people are maybe... Mm-hmm. Maybe some people are out here going like... I don't want people to know that I love anime girls in big coats.
Big coats. You've been like reaching a peak of power recently, Fenn, so I'm expecting you to say more insane shit than usual.
It okay. That felt relatively normal.
Yeah, that was pretty normal. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It's just expectation. Reality. You know?
Uh-huh.
Okay. This guy. What has he done? Let's not go through it the way they go through it.
The
Yoda hole. You know what I mean?
His childhood crush died. What?
You know, I've heard there was a more civilized day episode where they were talking about the Yoda hole. You know, you go in and you see your darkest self or whatever.
Did they phrase it that way?
Hmm.
I feel like I'm experiencing the psychic shock of having heard that phrase for the first time.
It's in my notes, too.
Oh.
Should have read ahead. You would have been prepared.
Yeah.
He had a girlfriend.
Or a crush.
Or a crush. She died.
Yeah.
He has a little sister with anime girl wasting disease going in for the anime girl wasting disease surgery. What kills you if you don't have enough boys sending you their energy?
Uh-huh.
So now he's like worried that his sister is dead, but he doesn't actually know because he went to Sky Hell or whatever. Also, he has a friend who's like mad at him for not being there for his sister. So
yeah,
his sister did live, presumably because of the friend providing the anime boy energy.
Friend's older sister who views herself as the like the platonic ideal of older sister.
Oh yes, yes. I forgot that there was another girl. Too. Anyway, the girl who died, his crush, I can't remember her name. What is her name?
Oh, they say it at the end.
No, Sora's Sana Misora.
Misora, yeah.
You get it? Like Sora, like
yeah.
the sky.
Uh huh.
Like Japanese
yeah,
word for sky.
Did you get it? Yep.
Misora, like me. English, me, Sora. I think that she should get a better outfit for being the manager of Sky Hell.
You mean then the like unbuttoned jeans and like a crop top?
She should get like a nice hat or something.
Yeah.
She can have a crop top.
She should have a women want me, fish fear me.
Yeah.
That pause, that like me stammering, was trying to figure out a joke of like integrating Sky into that somehow, and I was like, I'm just gonna give up. And
Sky want me, fish fly me. Anyway.
Yeah, her job as why?
It's an informal job. She just showed up and was like, I'm gonna do this.
Okay.
No one assigned.
Is she only doing this for the protagonist?
No, she said, I'm going to stay here and help the lost children of the sky come home.
Okay. I was, like, buttoning through this pretty quickly because I was like, I have so much to do before podcast. And also, this is not very good.
She died.
Yeah.
He was sad. He ran away from his sister's surgery or whatever. He ended up here. There's some choices. You can get really abrupt bad ends that sometimes the background for the title screen is the same as the background being used in the scene, so it just like you click and then it cuts to the menu with no transition.
This is true
really
of the true end also.
Yes.
Which is really funny.
But basically you gotta choose to go back to real life. Everyone always loves to go back to real life.
Stay in the weird sky hell.
And his Emoto is still alive, and they have a nice time together. Yep. And he's like, wow, Misora must be up there in sky hell watching me.
Yeah.
No postscript, no translator notes that I could see. This is another one of those, but I guess he doesn't get together with the girl at the end. You know, the anime girl wasting disease was actually a misdirect. It was not the childhood friend love interest.
Yes. But he does get to go home to his loving Emoto.
Yes. She separately also must have had some kind of anime girl wasting disease, but she did die.
Mm-hmm.
And then he learned a valuable lesson about
life. Or she got in a car accident?
That's the other thing that could happen. But if you think about it, Fenn, getting hit by a car is a kind of anime girl wasting disease.
Okay. I guess she did. Did she get isekai'd?
Is this an isekai?
Yeah.
No. Surprising everyone, I've decided to draw hard lines about what an isekai is, and this is not one. All right,
Venus
it.
Means Venus.
I'm excited. I hope that the next one's better. This one was like, it didn't even make me mad.
Yes, this one, I feel, I don't remember which one it was. Was it like Io Christmas Eve that Catherine was on for?
Oh, yeah.
And was like, I have no feelings about this.
Uh-huh.
Impossible to feel anything about this.
How I was like, even the person who made this feel anything about this?
I was like bothered by the bad translation and vaguely confused by the rest of it. I hope next time is good.
Are you sure you don't want to do other side first?
Yeah, so let's do other side first.
I was gonna say.
I just had to like do the bit of Before we move on,
we don't even have any notes for this.
Next time, we're doing From the Bottom of My From the Bottom of the Heart.
We are going to say this at the end anyway.
I know. I was just like wrapping up the little altogether section.
Where is the copy of Other Side Picnic? I should have this on hand.
Oh, where is it? Let me go find it. I'll be right back.
Ben, I'm vamping. And by that, I mean I've just become a vampire. That's not true. I'm not a vampire. I would make a great vampire, I think. I would just be normal about it. I'm cutting this part out of the episode. Fenn can't stop me, unfortunately. Tsukihime's fucking good, folks. Play Tsukihime. Okay. For some reason, you decided it would be a good idea to read this.
What do you mean, for some reason? I enjoyed it. And also...
I meant more like, it almost felt like you were, challenging yourself or something like that with it last episode. I was like, are you sure you want to do another other side since you had such a rough time like getting through it last time? And you were like, yeah, I am sure.
Yeah, and I got through it. Like, you what? You're the one who was like, Fenn, we have to do Omnibus 2 like relatively soon. So I was like, okay, let's do it.
More pictures of Bozo or whatever his name is.
Well, that can't hurt me. Bozo's on my phone. I don't have Discord open on my computer.
You're just building up a karmic debt for later. Okay, we read volume 3 of Other Side Picnic, Yamanoke Presents.
Mm-hmm.
And not volume 4.
Yeah.
Even though it's collected in the same omnibus.
Yes.
So that's Yamanoke Presents, Sanuki-san, and Karateka-san, and then The Whispered Voice Requires Self-Responsibility.
Good volume.
You had fun?
Yeah.
I feel like Other Side Picnic has become this weirdly contentious thing between the two of us, where it's like, Other Side Picnic isn't even in the like top 100 of like, maybe it's in the top 100, but it's not even in the like top 20 or 30 of things that I like. But I feel like I'm always like, defending it from you, even though you also claim to like it.
I had a good time. I was a little bit like, every time a cult comes up, I'm like, I could be reading Suina Sora right now, but
I could be reading one of my favorite things ever written.
Suina Sora is not Tsubihibi, just for the record, in case anyone was confused.
Yes.
Ben is glaring at me.
I'm not glaring at you. I'm glaring off to the side of you. I'm
Ben is kind being of an exasperated in my direction.
I'm giving an exasperated look at the camera over your shoulder. Yes. This is the thing is that, like, if we're talking about cult stuff, I haven't finished Tsubihibi. I'm pretty sure that it's going to be higher than Other Side Picnic. I think that's a pretty easy thing to say. And Blue Reflection,
also right? Incredible.
Also better than Other Side Picnic, yes. I think. Even though, I think Other Side Picnic probably has like a, then the anime. No, the anime was just as bad. Other Side Picnic is more suited to my aesthetic, but I like Blue Reflection better, especially if we're counting more than just the anime, because the Blue Reflection is so good all overall.
Yeah.
However.
Okay. Other Side Picnic, in case you missed last time, somehow, is Coward's Yuri about, focused on Soro and Toriko, who are two college students.
Mm-hmm.
Is Toriko a college student?
Yes. She goes to a different college. But
okay. Two college students who have had their bodies transformed by the other side.
Yes.
Which is like a weird otherworldly place. It's the zone from... Yeah.
It's a different layer of reality. It's like somewhere between like a... eldritch horror, like something reaching from the other world thing, and the zone from other Roadside Picnic or Stalker and whatnot. Kind of like an AI generated ghost story hell.
Yes. And Yeah, they explore there for reasons.
They like fucking around over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Loosely, Toriko's looking for her ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Well, her ex-friend, Ben.
Her ex-friend. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Soro is just a freak.
Yes.
She's just hanging out.
She's a disgusting otaku.
She's a disgusting otaku. But, like, it's kind of like a health goth, you know what I mean? She's like a health otaku. She's an outdoor activities otaku.
Is she?
She does urban exploring and, like, ruin exploration.
I guess that's true.
She's very athletic.
Yes. Yes.
Does she game? I've never seen her game or watch anime. She's like a ghost story.
Really is.
Nerd.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Anyway, they have gotten increasingly more wrapped up in the goings-on of the other side.
Spooky bullshit.
As things have gone on. This one opens with the spacesuit?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
This is a fun chapter, I think. Yeah. They are planning on spending a night in the other side at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, doing a camping trip so they can, like, explore further. And they end up deciding to do a picnic.
Yes.
They end up in, like, a...
they end up going on an expedition so that they can use the vehicle that they bought.
Oh, yes. The like, tobacco harvesting yes. machine that moves at, like, 3 miles an hour, maybe.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so they were going to do a, like, you know, just straight shot trip to check it out, the vehicle, and, like, make sure it works and mm-hmm. set up some poles so that they can, like, basically, like, build a road between two mm-hmm. access mm-hmm. points.
Luckily, the world doesn't seem to move around too much.
Yes. And Toriko was, like, pounding her fists on the table going, like, picnic.
Other side picnic.
Yeah.
They needed to have a picnic.
Yes. They happen upon some, like, observation station.
Yeah, it's like one of those, like, I can't, like, picture it totally, but it feels like one of those restaurants that's always turning, you mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know, it's like a little tower where you go, like, oh, the view is always changing, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And they have a picnic with a spacesuit that's just mm-hmm. kind of there.
Yeah.
Creepy. Fun.
Cool.
Uh-huh. And then the observational platform, like, rotates reality as it turns, and they end up at night, and Soro gets possessed, and Toriko has to beat the ghost out of her.
Yeah, cool.
It's good. It's
yeah.
good. The really fun bit at the end of this is it ends with the revelation that Satsuki, Toriko's
right,
girlfriend, had been following them the entire time, and only Soro could see her.
Yes.
The bit of this this picnic having an uninvited guest, and it's not the spaceman, it's actually a hell ghost.
Yeah. Is cool.
Because the last chapter was the little bird in the box, right?
Yes.
Yes, yes. The Kotoribako. So, yes. Soro is just stuck with Satsuki for now, I guess.
Yep. The second chapter was in the anime, inexplicably.
Yes, they, like, cut it way forward so they could introduce, what's her face? Let's see. What is her name? Natsumi. Natsumi, yeah. Who is Akari's, like, love interest girl.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny that, like, those aren't main characters. So it's fine if they're just introduced as, like, already basically being together.
Akari definitely has
still
the thing where she's like, Akari has the thing. Okay. We know that there is something cowardsy if lesbians do exist in the world? Or does it become something else?
Do lesbians exist?
Toriko has two moms.
Oh, right. Yes. Yes. Okay. Is Girls Band Cry not Coward's Yuri because a gay man exists off-screen?
No. I was going to say, because my counterexample was, I wouldn't call Uma Musume not Coward's Yuri, even though Special Week has two moms.
Yeah, Special Week has two moms. You could read that as one of them being her adoptive mom.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
there's no... Mm-hmm. There's no evidence that they were together at any
point. I guess the thing that is happening here is Toriko keeps being like, yes, I have two moms. Why don't you think about what that means, you little twerp?
Yeah.
In an attempt to make Soro realize that this is not, in fact, Coward's Yuri, which he very much believes it to be.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But okay, I'm going to let you off the hook for one more volume. You can call it Coward's Yuri if you want, for one more volume.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, it is still Coward's Yuri. Liz is more gay than anything we've seen so far.
Hmm.
For me.
Hmm.
So much... The real thing is that so much of the focus mm-hmm. is on
mm-hmm.
what is the monster of the week.
This is not important.
And who is Satsuki.
This is not important. And... This is not important. You know that they're going to kiss. You know that they're going to... That you know that this is a Yuri. You're just being difficult.
I am bummed.
The Liz girls are never going to kiss. It's not going to happen.
Holding up a Doshin.
Hibike, yes, they're not gonna kiss. You know, if I bet you could find some other side doujin where they're fucking in that too, Fen. If that's the metric we're going by.
I'm just saying, so far, three volumes in, still Coward's Yuri. That's all. Ben is going to strangle me.
I can't give you what you want right now.
I'm just saying that, like, it is...
Okay, I'm seeing your point. I know you're just being difficult and trying to piss me off. Let's continue talking.
No,
about it,
but it
is not
also,
a useful discussion.
It is also interesting
uh-huh.
that I would lump this in with something like "Love You." I want to love you until you die.
Mm-hmm.
Kimishinu. In that, it is a work that is not. Particularly, or that the main couple
mm-hmm.
is eventually going to get together,
mm-hmm.
and there are little bits of like relationship stuff between them, but is mostly about what is the monster this week.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's like, oh yes, Satsuki shows up, and then Soro is jealous,
mm-hmm.
and then they have to deal with the monster.
Mm-hmm.
And then. Soro gets to go like, oh, Toriko's so cute. And then another monster shows up.
Uh-huh.
And then they have to deal with the monster.
Okay. This is the thing I really do like. It's really fun that Soro is refusing to talk about Satsuki
yeah.
being there, haunting them.
Uh-huh.
To Toriko, who is obsessed with finding her.
Yes.
Because she doesn't want her to realize that she's like right there and also maybe the devil.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Yeah. I love when Soro just makes things way worse for herself by not talking about things that she really should talk about. Yeah. I feel like if I was in a ghost hunting unit and I was being haunted by a ghost, I would probably mention the ghost. I like to think I would. If there was a yeah. ghost haunting me,
mm-hmm.
I'd be pretty scared of that. I'd be pretty fucked up about it.
Yeah, I would not be good. Okay, this is the act... Beyond all of this, my biggest complaint about what we've read so far is that I just don't vibe with unending narratives.
Mm.
Like, or the way that this is written is mm-hmm. really grating sometimes,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, oh, yeah, Akari? Is mm-hmm. that her name? I want to call her Akira. Because
no,
I think
Akari
of,
Seto.
I think of Seo.
Because her last name is Seto.
Yeah, I'm like, oh yes, Akira Seo. every time she's brought up, was it 3 pages ago that she was mentioned? Still gonna say, oh yes, that is my junior. This is the nickname I have for her.
This is a really interesting thing because, like, I think that I agree with you broadly that it's kind of the modular nature of the narrative can like. Make it feel a little placeless in time and make it feel a little like it's holding your hand too much.
Mm-hmm.
However, the last time I read this, I was reading it out loud to Heather. And this is perfect for if you're like reading it scattershot over a period.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Know why it exists this way.
So, no, I agree with you. It's just like, oh, I had a really good experience with that, actually, because it's really good for getting someone who's less invested in the details of stories like this to remember, oh, yes, this is that person. Every single event has a code name so that you can kind of like be like, oh, yes, that involves this thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I totally get how it can be grating if you're trying to like push through a volume quickly.
Well, yes, it was like... Yes, she says, Karateka. My kohai. Karateka, sorry. My kohai, and like every time. And then it's like, it was also, I think it's chapter 11?
It's the equivalent of a, like...
That, like, the chapter that ends with Toriko and Kozakura.
Mm-hmm.
Which, God, this is the other thing that bummed me out about this reading, is like setting up Kozakura Sororo as an incredible couple, and then having Ben...
I have no idea where you're getting this from. It's really funny.
You did not... Okay. Anyway. Kozakura and Sororo hiding in the closet, and Sororo petting Kozakura's head, and like... I was like, oh yeah, good.
You're so fun.
Okay.
The shit that you like isn't happening.
I know.
So it's a bad.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying it's bad, Ben. But
you front load constantly with like, here's all the negative things about this, and I'm like, okay, what about this thing that I liked? And you're like, yeah. Anyway, here's another thing I didn't like.
Okay, the
it's only Other Side Picnic that we get like this over. I don't understand why.
Yes.
Anyway, what I was going to say was that
I wasn't done.
You interrupted me. Let me get this thought out before we move on. What I was going to say was, do you know when you're reading like a weekly manga in like a magazine or a monthly manga magazine, and there's like in the linings, there's like little recaps of who all the characters are and like a little description of them? It's like that, but it's in panels and you kind of have to read it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The other really glaring example of this was the end of a chapter being like Kozakura and Toriko advising Sororo to grow her hair out, and then realizing, oh, you kind of look like Satsuki, and you'd look more like Satsuki if you grew out your hair a little. And then the next chapter opening with like literally two pages later, as if that was like chapters ago. Oh, right, here's this event that happened, and like very explicitly stating the thing that was very obvious from that scene was like, oh yes, they were awkward because I was...
That's so funny. You're so funny. I would totally believe that this was published serially. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't think it was. But it's like written as if it were published serially.
It feels like a, this is how light novels are written, is...
I don't think it's technically a light novel. And
this is how this style of like genre works are written.
Okay.
To me, at least, is like, oh, yes. We expect people to read a chapter and then set it down, and then they will have forgotten everything from that chapter. So we have to be able to, like...
So you mean that people are reading it the way that people tend to read stories that are, like, chapters like this?
What?
Like, what I'm saying is I'm using Heather as an example of, like, the woman on the street, basically. But, like, when she reads, this is basically what she does.
Heather has bad ADHD.
That's really funny.
No, this is just funny to me as someone who is like, if I'm gonna read something, I'm not gonna like, I'm either going to give up on it or I'm gonna sit down and like read it. I'm not gonna like get through a 20 page chapter and be like, I'll be back to this in 6 months.
Sorry, one second, I'm not doing this anymore. Can we talk about the story?
Yes, I just wanted to.
No, I'm just like, there's no use quibbling. I totally get it. I don't even disagree with you. I'm not quibbling for any reason anymore. That's fine. You get your point. I'm not gonna like disparage it. Now let's move on.
Okay. Yeah.
Why is it every time we talk about Other Side this happens?
I was just trying to express a thing that I felt about the book, and you were like, actually, it's good, Fen.
No, I'm just saying I had a different experience.
Yeah. You, the way that you phrase things sometimes is
okay,
like,
okay.
And therefore your experience is wrong, Fen.
No, okay. You keep doing this thing where you like, you come at me like you're holding a baseball bat. Like, oh, Ben, I'm going to fuck up this thing you like. And I'm like, I think it's fine. What are you doing? Why are you smashing that?
I was just... Okay. Why do we get like this?
I know, because like, it's not just you, and it's not just me. Just somehow, there's this weird tension every time we cover another side. I think we have to do them in omnibuses at a time, just so we can get through it faster and keep this contained.
I need us to do volumes at a time, because I can
I know,
sit down.
I'm kidding.
I can sit down and read a volume
yes.
in like 2 or 3 days.
Yes, yes, yes. It's just really funny.
Yes.
We have to exercise the demon somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, how long have we been talking about Other Side, do you think?
We're only 50 minutes into this. So like, I don't know, half an hour max?
You said 15 first and then 50. And I was like, oh, those are different numbers. Okay. But
it's been like 20 minutes.
We've only talked about the first of the three stories.
Okay. So. What's the second story about, Ben?
What are you doing? I'm just trying to move us on.
The second story is about...
Why are you fighting me again? We already finished that.
The second story is about teeth.
It is about teeth. I don't really care for this one much.
It's fine.
Akari is growing on me as time goes on, but like, I don't think she's a super compelling character. She gets a little weirder later, so like, mm-hmm. you know, that's better. And it's fun that she has a big butch girlfriend.
This is but... okay. This is what I mean by the endless nature of it
mm-hmm.
is like, oh, just for the future, in case I need. Like something to write about, I'm gonna introduce these characters because it's like meta plot stuff doesn't really happen
mm-hmm.
it's just kind of a fun like side story, and it feels like the kind of thing that is like, but I have introduced these characters so that in the future they can show up and cause complication if I need to prolong a story.
Okay, counterpoint.
Yes.
Akari was also one of Satsuki's, like, people that she was grooming to be, like, someone that she would bring to the other side. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And Natsumi knew this and was worried about Satsuki and wanted to keep Akari away from her and sees the same thing in Sororo. That's what the meta plot stuff is that's happening here. It's comparing Sororo to Satsuki more. It's, like, doubling down on that connection. Of being like, oh, this woman is increasingly being shown to be a monster and to have lost herself completely. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And Sororo might be the same type of person that she was.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's like the ghost story is like fine. It's fun. There's like a monkey, an old lady. There's a bunch of teeth.
Yeah,
teeth. Some creepy stuff. You know, that's good. Mm-hmm. But I think that part's good. And I also like the bit where Sororo is like...
That's interesting. Because I feel like the opposite... actually happens is her friend is like, oh, I thought you were Satsuki, but you're not at all. You're like you're a good person.
Yeah, or
you're monogamous is really the thing.
Well, this is two things, right? It's raising the idea of, are you sure you're not like that first? And then two, it's everyone who meets Satsuki likes her and thinks she's a good person. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do I think Sororo is going to be the devil?
Unfortunately,
no, probably not. She's a weirdo, but like, I don't think she's that bad. But I do like that they're playing with that idea, and I also like Sororo unlikable moments when everyone is like running around looking for teeth. Natsumi's like, yeah, I was really suspicious of you. I thought you were probably like a really shady person who was taking advantage of Akari, but you know. And she's, like, trying to bond with her both over that and the fact that they both have, like, obvious crushes on the girl that they're associated with. And Sora's like, why is this bitch talking to me?
Mm-hmm.
What is she trying to bond with me for? What does she want from me?
Okay, really to be fair, she does start her, like, you're not actually a bad person with, like, you look really gross, and...
I know. It's not, like, it's not unreasonable for Sotaro to be pissed off about it. It's just fun that she, like, she doesn't, like, give any grace. She's not like, oh, I also was wrong about this person. She's like, what's this person's problem, you know? And this is like little Sotaro moments that I like, you know?
Yeah. I am also like someone weird starts talking to me and I'm
yes.
like, why?
Yes, yes,
go
yes.
away, please.
Uh-huh. I'm totally with you. That's the Sotaro promise. She just like us for real.
Yeah.
She's a little bit unpleasant to be around.
Except that she's trapped in Kawazuri. The third story. Is
we're gonna get to stuff actually happening and you're gonna be like, it's not Yuri till the dick goes in.
I'm gonna get to that stuff and be like, oh, what good friends.
Just to piss me off for no reason. I don't know why you get like this. Anyway, the bulk of this is The Whispered Voice Requires Self-Responsibility, which is a story about a cult and another person who has been touched by the other side and has a mind control power.
Yes.
And slugs in her throat.
Yep. Wait, does she?
Yeah. Ooh, you can see it in this picture, actually. She, like, talks about how there's, like, a silver luminescence in her throat, and then there's a picture of her. Let's see, where is she? That I really like. Because if you look at her throat there, it's like textured and lumpy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She also has hair like Nazuna from Call of the Night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good detail.
Runa
Rumi. What?
Yes, I was just trying to think about, yeah. She has the voice from Dune.
I don't know much about the voice from Dune, but I do like the way how it's described here. Like, she's pouring liquid metal into your ear.
Yeah.
It's very sexual, sexually charged also.
Yes.
But yes, she wants Toriko. She kidnaps Sotaro by accident. She has a cult of people that she's brainwashed. There's some fun thing about these shady videos that keep popping up and disappearing that are like brainwashing people or giving them like supernatural experiences. Sotaro loses some time because of watching one of them, you know what I mean? And then immediately like gets grabbed by people and thrown in a van and brought to some freaky place.
I guess this is also the previous story also sets this one up because the reason that all of that started happening was
Natsumi
watched one of these.
Interesting. I like this. I like this story. I like Sotaro's cult mode where she's like, yeah, I would kill a guy right now. I think that's fun. I like her the reveal of her fucked up power to make people go insane and attack people.
Yeah.
I like that it works through screens.
Yes. Not as well, but does work. That's cool.
And we get in a real encounter with Satsuki Aruma, where she kills Runa's mother and makes Runa split her face open from screaming. And they manage to get away from her.
Yep.
This is when Sotaro has to like do the chopping her hair with a knife to get away thing.
Yes. And goes, maybe it's for the best that I don't have hair that looks a lot like Satsuki's.
Probably for the best. Yeah, I think this is a really fun chapter.
Yeah.
I like Runa a lot. She's gross.
Yes.
We also, it's always funny when Kozakura gets dragged into one of these experiences. You know what I mean?
She's so normal. I mean, she's not.
She's such a weirdo, but she's so scared. Her, like, the fact that Kozakura gets a reaction to being scared is to get very angry is really relatable. She gets hit pretty hard by Runa and tells her everything about all of the secret shit and like the weird shady organization that they're working with and all sorts of stuff. But you know, Toriko shows up, saves the day, more or less.
Toriko and what's his name?
Toriko and Migiwa, the like black ops guy.
Yeah,
like independent black ops guy. He's really funny. I think he's like a funny guy, but the fact that he's like some like Black Steel ex Black Steel like international mercenary guy who's like super cool and does torture is really funny.
Yes.
Oh,
not torture, Ben. Just waterboarding.
No, he said, "I was just playing with the water a little bit." No, we just played with the water for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really something. Again, I think he's like, his like, demeanor makes it kind of a funny joke, but it's definitely like that same, gun otaku shit that other side is, a little too steeped in. You know what I mean? Heather loves this guy. She thinks he's so funny.
He's there for the het girls.
I don't think she is horny for him, but, he does have, like, a very funny demeanor, you know?
Yes, yes.
He
is, yeah, he is the straight man in the middle of, like, a world gone crazy.
Yes, yes, yes. See what else? Right. Satsuki's cult attacks dark science research in an attempt to steal stuff that belonged to Satsuki. This ends with Satsuki attacking them.
Mm-hmm.
It goes poorly for Runa.
Yeah.
And they manage to get away.
And live to fight another day. And maybe...
Oh, they save Runa. This is also important.
Yes. They save Runa. Maybe possibly Toriko's goal is no longer to find Satsuki.
Yes, yes.
I guess TBD, but it does seem like...
Right. Because everyone could see her this time.
Toriko and Kozakura were like, oh, she's like... different now.
Yeah, she's fucked up now. Hey, Sordo, maybe it would have been good to fucking say something about the fact that she became an evil ghost.
I'm still curious if she was always like this or if it was something that made her go weird.
I like this theory that she was never a real person that you have. You know what I mean? I think it's fun.
I am running out of evidence for this. Mm-hmm. It is increasingly more and more like, oh no, she's... As soon as she became like this, she was, like, just ontologically evil and incapable of even, like, pretending to be nice.
Yeah, she can't really, like, speak coherently either. But that's one of the fun things about, like, the other side things is you don't always realize that they weren't speaking to you. You know what I mean? We have, like, in the beach at the end chapter, Sordo has, like, a full conversation with her. We only get one side, and it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yes.
That stuff's really fun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I like about Other Side is that there's not a lot of stuff that feels like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's kind of got its own thing going on.
Okay, yes. This is a thing that I did want to bring up that I think it is hitting... less for me in the same way that like listening to the Shelf by Genre on Tomie, I am like, oh, I am so not a horror person that like I can appreciate the craft. I can like read Tomie and go like, this is a well-drawn manga that is like executed well. I can like appreciate that these setups are interesting.
Yeah.
But like, it's not when someone's like, I'm not popping off for like, ooh, that was so scary.
Yeah. It's like I don't really go to horror to be scared, but I do when something's like, oh, wouldn't it be really, really fucked up if this happened? I'm like, yeah, it would be fucked up if that happened. And
I'm
you're like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. You're like, wouldn't it be fucked up if this girl like cheated on her partner in a really like horrible way? That's gonna be the thing that gets you going.
Yes. Yeah.
Not
this is what I mean by like I am here for the interpersonal drama, and that gets that gets like a couple of pages every chapter, and it's mostly, oh no, there's something terrifying and like pressing going on that we need to deal with.
Right, like to compare it to I Want to Love You Until You Die Again, you really love that, but the balances are all different, right?
Yes,
because that is primarily about interpersonal relationships with a, like, it's about interpersonal relationships. It's about horrible machine that kills people. Yes. Kill, like, grinds.
Machine, parentheses, like, system.
Uh-huh.
Society.
And then it's about a romance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Whereas Other Side is, like, about the logistics of a world, and then about other stuff.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
But it's kind of like, got, like, it does have a bit of the, like, I think it's better than the other light novel that I read.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than Executioner. I think it's pretty well written, you know?
Yeah, no. This is not to say that it is poorly written or that, like...
But it has some of the same impulses. I think that you're right about that. But it is nice to see that kind of thing where the main cast is women.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And women. And it is gay.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be more gay as time goes on. And there will not be a thing where they're going to introduce a like dude ghost hunter who's going to marry one of them or something. Yes. Like that. You know what I mean? Like, that's just off the table. And I think that that creates like a nice environment to like do this kind of spooky horror genre, like light horror genre stuff, action story, in a way that I think is fun. But, you know, it's like a dungeon meshy. I'm not like going to bat for Other Side Picnic. I just have a fondness for it.
Yeah,
this is the same thing as before, where I always think about it as like the first anime we watched together, and you're like, oh yeah, I guess we watched that shit.
We did watch Wonder Egg the same season,
which is
like
probably more defining of our podcast and us watching anime.
Yes.
Because of the polarized reaction we had to it.
We were together in being polarized on the beginning and ending of that season.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a case where you were like super high, or I was super high on it and you were super low on it.
Yeah.
It was, yes.
United.
We had a roller coaster of emotions about it.
So why don't you tell me, talk about some, what do you like about this? I've talked a lot about the little bits that I liked. Give me some stuff that you did have fun with. You had fun shipping Sororo and Kozakura.
Yeah, they had a few like beautiful pages where it was like, oh, Kozakura is blushing bright red because Sororo just like held her close and like patted her head a whole bunch.
Doesn't seem like she gets a lot of attention.
What do you
cuddling?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's just like, yeah, that's cute.
Mm-hmm.
I would love, yes. This is the thing, is I liked that bit. The I am, for all my crimes, a former gun otaku.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's definitely some absurdity around how cavalier they are about using guns.
Yes.
And having guns in and around Tokyo, right?
I know, like, right? They just have that shit on them.
Is truly wild. The rotating platform is really good.
Yeah, I like mechanically how that works. And also just the image of the picnic with the spaceman is fun.
It's really good.
Just like drag it over to eat with them instead of having it just be nearby.
Put down a little like offering of food and drink in front of it. It's good. Yes. There's even if I'm not here specifically for the like kind of horror genre elements, there's still some good imagery.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's another thing from the Natsumi episode. She said she's gonna help fix up the vehicle,
yes,
which
yes.
will be a reoccurring bit.
Uh-huh. The vehicle is so what a
bad
terrible
purchase that was.
Yeah.
Sotaro's logic that four-wheelers would be more efficient but would probably drive them into a landmine, that's fair, but
yeah.
This thing was probably not the right solution.
3 miles an hour is so slow.
Well, that's why they're gonna jack that shit up.
Yes, they're gonna supercharge
their tobacco harvesting machine.
Yes. I did try to look for that. I was like, okay, how much was this? She says she maxed out her credit card. I don't remember if a specific figure was given in the previous volume.
So. I've seen, I can't find, this model doesn't exist as far as I can tell, but I've seen stuff that fits this description really well. I don't remember what the cost was off the top of my head, but I was like, that was too much. You shouldn't have done that.
Well, it feels like one of those things that is like, oh, was your credit card limit like $5,000, like US dollars equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't sound like a very high tech machine.
No.
It's like manually harvesting. Mm-hmm, so it like can't be that expensive.
No.
But to a college student, yeah. Like that's a
fortune. Doesn't have a real job.
Yes.
She has a very unstable freelance position.
Yes.
Yeah,
as I said, like I am ultimately more interested in the more grounded drama, like relationship stuff. And so I was like, cool, there was some of that, like it does, literally any of it, I guess.
It does track to me that you like Kozakura a lot, because she is like she's just doing her best. This is like, ever since this story started, things have just been going downhill for her.
She's just trying like her
tired,
best.
Like 30-year-old lady who's very small, weak,
tiny.
I'm always thinking about the like shotgun with a spreader that she had pointed directly at Soro's back, and she was like, "If something pops up, I will shoot." And no, I'm not going first.
Yeah, she's really good.
That stuff's very fun.
Yeah.
But I feel like I like Soro more than you. I just have more fondness for her.
Yeah, I think she's like good. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Got any other thoughts?
It was enjoyable.
Okay.
I had fun.
Okay, good.
I read it in like 2 days.
Yeah, you got through it really quickly. I was surprised. It makes me think, like, okay, last time you were really dragging your feet then.
It did take me, like, I did have a day off that I got to just sit down and read for, like, several hours. Which did help.
Oh, but. Yeah, we get the thing about Soto almost burning her house down with herself in it to kill her family again.
Yeah, well, she didn't. Or did she? Did she say that she did?
No, I believe what is said is that she was going to do it, but they never showed up because they had already died somewhere else.
Right.
So she didn't have to, but she was going
just,
to do
she
it.
She should have just committed to it.
You think she should have just died and killed herself?
Like, if you're gonna burn down the house, then burn down the damn house. Don't give up halfway through.
What happened to that house? She probably sold it. I don't think she's,
She must have.
She must have. Well, in that case, you made the right choice not burning the house down.
Yeah, I guess.
You're so funny. Why are you giving her a hard time?
Cowardly not to burn a house down is all I'm saying.
They didn't show up. Although, I will say, I think she did pour gasoline all over the place. So maybe the house did burn down later anyway. Maybe that's why she hasn't talked about it. Okay. All right.
We'll read the fourth volume at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when we have another light episode.
Yeah.
Actually, what are we doing next time? Where are we? Oh, Melty Blood X.
I feel like we're usually pretty united in our opinions. Not always. Mm. We're usually
a little bit offset from one another.
This feels like the gap is a little bit wider, which is probably why we're both feisty. So it's probably why we're arguing about it more.
I'm tired also. Yeah, there is also the thing of like, I feel like, yes, I come at this a little with like a little bit too much heat.
Yes.
And then you're like, well, I have to defend this. I can't let Fen get away with this.
No, I can never let Fen get away with anything. But I was going to say, usually what happens is we generally agree on if a work is like, we usually agree about the number we would give a thing within one or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then individual pieces we disagree on because there are different things that we enjoy about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Whereas here, we're just like, we're 2 stars off.
You wouldn't rate this 5 stars,
no,
right?
No. Probably 4.
Yeah, it's like a 3 or 4 for me.
You don't talk. You talk about it like it's a 2.
It's probably a 3, just because like most of this is a mismatch of what I care about versus what it is interested in, is that, like, yeah, the some of the ghost stories are fun, but that's not...
Yeah.
I'm not primarily...
Right, like, this is when I'm like, this is more suited to my aesthetic than Blue Reflection. And then it speaks to how good Blue Reflection is, that I like Blue Reflection more.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Blue Reflection is incredible.
Blue Reflection is incredible. They should make another one of those.
This is the you should not play Sisterly Bliss if you're not interested in, like, Sisters Yuri, because there's nothing there for you. If you dislike or actively hate, if you actively dislike, like, ghost stories and stuff, then...
I was going to draw a distinction, because Sisters Yuri specifically doesn't really have any particular draw for me. It just doesn't have an undraw.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
If you're interested in Yuri, there's something there for you in Sisterly Bliss. If you're interested in, like, kink stuff, there's something in there for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if you are repelled by the like, sister framing, it will override everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Which is... Yeah, so I guess there is, like, there's...
This isn't me, like, knee-jerk being like, whoa, I'm not into... I think it's bad for anime sisters to fuck. I don't really care about that. They're not real people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just me being honest about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You could go into Sisterly Bliss with the interest of a girl chaining another girl up in the basement and killing her family.
You're right. There's a lot in Sisterly Bliss. That's good.
All right. That's enough.
I'm glad that I don't actively dislike the horror elements of this.
Yes.
Because that, I would be miserable.
We just wouldn't cover it.
Yes.
We would just, like, have turned away from it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm interested to see if you go up or down on Other Side as it goes.
There is definitely part of me that is like, I would be so much higher on this if Kozakura was a bigger character.
Probably.
I just like her.
You like Kozakura. I'm also happy every
time. I love a burnt out woman who has an office chair that she just curls up in.
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay. How long have we been going?
Hour 16.
All right.
Venus meets Venus.
Why isn't that loading? Give me 2 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Venus meets Venus. This sucks. I'm just kidding. I just wanted to see your face for a second.
Neither of us are real IF heads.
I've read some IF over the years. I used to do a little bit of it. You know what I mean? But I'm not, like, an expert.
We're not, like...
I don't really have, like, an encyclopedic knowledge of the medium.
Yes. We're not reading most of the, like, IF Jam entries every year. We're not, hanging out on the forum.
I'm just saying I have a little bit of, familiarity with it.
Yes.
Just not, like, an expert or anything like that.
I think it is interesting...
I'm also pretty out of date. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I used to read this stuff more when I was in college.
Venus Meets Venus is a 2015...
Yeah, that sounds right. That feels like right around when trans star of trans asterisk was, like, really getting around.
Yes, 2014 game about two women who meet in a bar. It is not a love story.
It does say that a
lot. It claims.
It does say that a lot, but it also does this really funny thing where it says, do people know how IF works? It's like hyperlinked.
Well, this is a Twine game.
Yes.
There's like, from what I have played, largely they fall under the same umbrella of interactive fiction.
But Twine is a popular tool.
Yes.
It's a popular engine.
So there's Twine, which is like hyperlinks.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes...
Will be highlighted or a phrase will be highlighted and you click on that to move on. There's sometimes branching paths. Sometimes they loop back to the original. There are no choices here. You can just see other extra detail if you click on stuff.
There are other games that are heavily choice-based.
Yes.
I'm going to get Ben to play Spy Intrigue at some point.
Oh, yes.
That one even has, like, a flowchart.
We should play Anthology of the Killer.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know much about it, but I've seen it. It's like a bunch of short stories about a person who is making zines in a town that's being and is hunted by like four or five different serial killers because the town's major export is serial killers.
Yes. So, right. Just really quick. The other IF is like Zork, which is parser based games where you're saying like turn left, go forward, interact or like pick up a banana.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can build these kinds of things in Twine.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Harder.
Yes. Yes.
You should just use one of the parser engines.
Yes.
So yes, this is a Twine game made in 2014.
But what I was getting at was that when it says this is not a love story, the highlighted part is always a love story, which I think is a really fun little detail.
Well, and yes, the reason that I say that like we're not, I have played some IF games, and I wanted to like. Bring this one specifically because it has ever since I've played it I've like thought a lot about it and liked it quite a bit on a second read through.
Did you have more complicated feelings the first time?
Not particularly.
Okay, so you liked it the first time, you liked it the second time.
Yeah,
why don't you tell me a little bit about it? This is your offering, so you lead this.
Let me know if broadly this is about a the protagonist, you, is told in the second person.
Lynn. She's also named Lynn. She is her own person.
She's
a very specific type of person, too.
Yes, but it is told in the second person.
Yes, it is. I really like the framing at the beginning where it explicitly tells you that this is framed as if there would be choices, but you have all you can ever do is make the same bad choices that you already made.
Yes, yes. It is told in the present tense as if you had as if you could fix your mistakes, but you cannot. Yes. So she's at a dive bar. She meets a cute
lesbian dive bar.
At a dyke bar, I guess. A divey dyke bar. She meets a cute girl named Macy. Macy?
Yes,
Macy. Yeah. There's some joke about her name.
Maisie is the
Maisie.
Mouse
okay.
She's referencing.
They kind of get along, and then Macy's pulled away by her friends because she's the designated driver.
Yep.
They meet up for coffee later. Lynn is not a person who goes for coffee. She doesn't do dates. She's a pick up girls at the bar at like 2 a.m. kind of a girl. And then don't ever, if you don't ever learn their name, you don't have to forget it.
She likes Macy.
Yes, yes.
She like doesn't want to admit it, but she has a thing for her pretty quickly.
They end up together. And then I would say most of the story is about Lynn
fucking up.
Yes, making mistakes. But
making the kinds of like bleedingly obvious mistakes that no one would ever make unless they were in a relationship and find that it's really hard to avoid some of these mistakes.
Yes.
The kind of thing where you, the real you who is the reader, could be like, well, you fucking idiot, just talk about it. And it's like, yeah. How are your relationships going, my friend?
Pretty well, because I'm in a wonderful relationship with Ben.
Yes.
But
I've been forged in the fire. I've had difficult times in relationships.
Oh, yeah.
We've had
also
difficult times before. You've had difficult times before.
Yes.
It's easy to say, just talk about it when you're not in that relationship and in that situation.
Yes. It's split into a bunch of sections. Most of which, I feel like there's like one or two that it just drops the number thing.
The number thing doesn't really do much for me.
I think it's mostly fine.
I think it's fine. It just doesn't really, like, move me in any way.
Yes.
I was a little like, okay, yeah, yeah, the number's thematic. I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But The first, like, major, or I don't know if it's major, but the first big conflict they have is over Lynn going, like, well, it's so cool and impressive that I have a trans girlfriend. I should, like, get to trot her out and be like, isn't it so cool of me to date a trans woman?
She turns into a capital A ally, which is interesting. Yes. Okay. So let's go through this beat by beat by beat, but like there is a bunch of like back and forth problems, right?
Yes. Right. The first thing
at the bar doesn't go well because Macy gets pulled away. Yeah. The coffee date doesn't go well because Macy doesn't kiss her, even though it seemed like she was about to kiss her, which Lynn takes to be she's closeted.
Yes, because there's
a way
family,
you could say that she is.
There's a family, like walking by mm-hmm. past them.
Yeah,
and she's like, "Oh, right, not you're a real not in front of the kids kind of a person," mm-hmm.
which is not quite right. Not quite what's happening. Yeah. But there are ways in which you could say that Macy is still in the closet. You know what I mean? Which I think is interesting. But the reason she pulled away is because Macy is trans and she kissed a TERF before and it went badly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she was scared that this cis lesbian was going to turn out to be a TERF.
Mm-hmm.
She's not.
No.
She's a different kind of weird transphobic in a way. Or not transphobic. It's definitely, she calls her a chaser later on.
Yes.
It's like, that's maybe mean, but it's not totally wrong, you know? There's kind of that, like, cis fascination with transness, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
it's fetishizing.
As I said,
yes. Mm-hmm. It is Lynn going, like, I have to learn everything about every trans person in existence now, because mm-hmm. I want to be supportive.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not going to ask my girlfriend about her experiences. No. Mm-hmm. I need to, like, follow blogs and also
Macy doesn't like talking about this stuff.
Yeah,
he's very reticent to actually talk about it, and Lynn kind of fills that gap by looking at bloggers talking about their inspiring stories, you know what I mean,
yeah,
which is really easy to get caught up in inspiring triumphant narratives or black-hearted vitriol when it comes to trans people, you know what I mean? But like, it's interesting because like I think that everyone's kind of always fetishizing the other person mm-hmm. A little bit, you know what I mean? It's kind of hard to avoid that kind of stuff completely.
Mm-hmm.
You can't 100% control your reactions to people, but you have to be aware of the ways in which you could be doing harm and try and mitigate them, right?
Yeah.
But nobody's perfect. No one's actually perfect at this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Lynn fucks up. Lynn? Really horny.
Oh, unbelievably horny.
Yes. So she gets really into...
Well, right, yes. On that, before we get to that... Mm-hmm. There is a section that I really like where Macy is starting a bath the first time, their first bath together.
Right.
And Lynn is like going through like, oh, did she like come out in eighth grade and like made the kids cry? No, that was that like vlogger.
Yes.
Was it like this? No, that was that other person. Oh, right. Yes. I finally like found her story.
Which was the most like surface level information of like, oh, yeah, her parents are not nice to her necessarily, but they're fine and her sisters are nice to her.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, that's not really a story.
Yes.
And also, Lynn doesn't really share any of her stuff, and Macy doesn't really push her on that either, she says. Anyway, they start dating after Lynn is like, I'm not a TERF. She didn't even know what a TERF was.
Yes.
But then she's like kind of too delicate with Macy because she's kind of scared of hurting her,
mm-hmm.
you know? She's getting too precious about it. Macy's kind of domesticating her a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And then they start like having one-way sex, basically,
because
Macy won't let Lynn actually touch her.
Mm-hmm.
This comes to a head with them almost breaking up. A lot of this is them almost breaking up.
Yeah.
And this, we have this great bath scene, you know what I mean? And then finally, they actually have sex, and it seems like that's going to fix things, but it doesn't fix things, really.
It doesn't fix things, because they go from, like, being able to talk however little they talk, they do talk to each other, yes, to, oh yeah, they just have sex all the time.
Yes, yes, yes. Lynn, still unable to really, like, bridge the gap in communication, now fills it with, raucous fucking.
Yes.
Good for them, but tough in other ways.
Uh-huh.
Right, and like Lynn gets increasingly frustrated that Macy has no interest in being part of the trans community, quote unquote, yes, because she has hang-ups about having kind of failed to be part of the lesbian community, mm-hmm, in a certain sense. This is a really interesting bit where you get kind of spooked for a minute because Lynn is reading TERF blogs, you know what I mean? Mm. And then you kind of realize pretty quickly that it's like, oh, she's kind of hurting herself with this.
Mm.
She doesn't, she like clearly doesn't buy any of this, but like, she's doom scrolling through it anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's like when people keep up with every detail of some fascist's life to be like, oh God, isn't that awful? He's really successful and rich. Doesn't that suck?
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
Yeah, sure, great. I don't care.
But yeah, yeah.
Prose is good. I think there's some like lines that really stuck with me, you know what I mean? I wrote some of them down.
Yes, yes. It is a lot of, at this point, a lot of what I read is translated Japanese or often incredibly poorly translated or Japanese.
You certainly have a genre.
And so it is always fun reading something written in English and being like, oh, language can be so fun. Like, I also feel this way about some of the Japanese that I read,
mm-hmm,
but that is often a process of like struggling through a sentence and then, mm-hmm, going like, oh, that was a real joy.
Yeah.
And just like, yeah, the way that the prose kind of like dances around at points,
mm-hmm,
is really fun.
That's something that's really hard to translate without like you can't translate it.
Yeah.
You can recreate a feeling, yeah, but you need a really strong, you need to be basically as talented a writer as the person writing.
Yes.
In order to pull that kind of thing off.
Uh-huh.
You need to be a really talented writer.
Which is like, yeah,
in the language it's being translated.
There are parts of Sweeney Stella,
mm-hmm,
that I was like, oh, this is just a gorgeous use of language.
Maybe not writer, but like prosist. You know what I,
yeah,
mean? It's like there's a difference in being the person who's doing the prose and like doing the writing,
mm-hmm,
right? Then translating, which is recreating the idea of the writing in another language, which is, yeah, reworking the prose into a new shape. You know what, yeah, I mean? Not to say it's lesser. It's just a little different, right?
Yeah. I think it is still...
It's a strong creative, like, yeah, hand that a lot of companies don't have the, like, money, attention, or care to do any of these,
mm-hmm,
well, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And also, translating's hard.
Yes.
Like, real translating is hard work, and it's not a huge industry because it doesn't pay enough.
Mm-hmm. And, yes, it is, and, yeah, yeah.
So it's also hard to get talent, like, skilled people.
Well, this is the thing, is, like, the most skilled people are mostly doing like literary work.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. This is the thing, is there are there are plenty of like talented translators, but yes, they're doing something. Not to say that they aren't talented, but they're like the talent pool is smaller when it comes to translating like anime, manga, otaku media,
yeah,
visual novels.
Because like, you know, there's no, I mean, prestige in translating like, mm-hmm, a bunch of, yeah.
And also, those companies are interested in quick and dirty, like translations, yeah, and aren't going to pay as much.
The thing I've heard over and over again is, even for the translators who work on who work at places and, mm-hmm, can kind of like pick what they want to translate or influence what they want to translate,
yeah,
it's like, well, first you're gonna have to translate a bunch of just Nukigai because those will sell. And then you can translate the good game that you actually want, yeah, to translate.
It's tough because I think translating seems fun.
Yeah.
I think people will like it. It seems like a fun thing to do if you're given like the freedom to do it.
Yeah.
And also if they could get people to stop like harassing people for localizing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really nice.
Yes. The distinction between... translating and localizing is a false dichotomy, I think, mm-hmm, that is served to create a word. Create a thing that makes it so that bad translating, you can say something, you call it something other than bad translating.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or what localization actually refers to is stuff like Ash Ketchum eating jelly donuts with the Pokemon. You know what I mean? This kind of stuff where it's like, okay, this is kind of ridiculous. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're not in fucking upstate New York.
Uh-huh.
What are you talking
yes.
about?
Yeah. Anyway, this is all
extraneous to what we're actually talking about.
Yes. But it is just to say that, like, I like the pros in this.
How do you wear your supportive, super understanding cis GF of a TGF badge if she passes so well? How do you show off your credibility like that?
Yeah.
Or, you're so much more used to buttons than joysticks, but you're a fast learner. You can game this well, too. Great line.
Great line.
A lot of really great run-on sentences in this.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Just no commas, no periods, just rambling about something that you did or something you feel.
Well, it is, yes, and used to great effect to make this feel like a very raw like experience.
Yes, yes, yes. All of Lynn's like intrusive thoughts about, like, I wonder how big her dick is. does she even have a dick? I don't even know that. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
There's like a really great section where she's like, she's done her research on what sex is gonna be like, and there's just like 20 little jumps that you can click through for her to be like, here's a porn video I watched. What if it's like this?
Yes.
Basically.
Yes. It is like, she's like, oh, like, what could it be like as the first link or something?
Uh-huh.
And then it's like this and or this or this. And then like every this is a different little mm-hmm, vignette. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. It takes them a while to get to the point where they're having like penetrative sex, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Or like reciprocal sex, I guess, is the more generous way you could say that.
Because
like, it's not that the sex they were having before isn't real sex. It's that Lynn feels like unfulfilled by it because she feels like she's not reciprocating.
Well, yeah, it is interesting that like her, a person who is generally happy with just a wham bam thank you ma'am is like, no, it doesn't feel good that I'm the only one enjoying myself
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. or
getting off
is maybe a better way to say that. Anyway, Lynn starts, they get busy, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And Lynn starts hanging out with like a LGBT community group at her college, and then goes out with them to a bar and fucks the trans girl in that group.
Yep.
this leads to the chaser comment.
Yes.
I made a joke about her being a chaser as soon as she mentioned the other trans girl. And then she actually called her a chaser, and I lost it.
Uh-huh.
I said, at that point, I was like, to Lynn's credit, she told Macy immediately.
Yeah.
Later on, she did not tell her immediately. She told her after they had sex.
Yes. Yes.
Important. But at least she took a shower first. Also, the bit where Macy's like, did you use protection? She's like, it was just like finger stuff. I didn't make her wear gloves.
Yeah. They have been basically living together.
Yes, but they haven't said, it's been a long time, it feels like, but they haven't exchanged I love yous, and they haven't moved in together.
Yes.
They've been together for almost a year, it feels like.
Yeah, I guess it is, yeah.
Because, like, there's a lease coming up,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
So Macy moves out for a while.
Uh-huh. She, like, kind of doesn't contact her for a while.
Yeah. And Lynn is like, oh no, I messed up real bad.
I fucked this up so bad. And she's, like, trying to... She's unsure on if she wants to do the thing that happens when you've broken up with someone where you start to reframe everything as having been harmful to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where you get a lot less generous. Because, like, people act like relationships are abusive or not abusive, right? Or if they're detrimental to you or not detrimental to you. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is a like thing of degrees. Obviously, there are relationships that can really fuck you up. You know what I mean? And relationships where one person is really taking advantage of the other. However, you can't touch someone without bruising them.
Yes.
If you are in a close relationship with any measure of depth, you will be hurting the other person in some way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that this is just me. Maybe, like, someone out there could be like, I've never fought with my partner ever, and we're so close, and we have a beautiful relationship, and we've been together for 1 year, and we've never had an argument. A whole year. And I'm like, I've been with my wife for, like, 15 or something, and you go through phases with these things. Like, real life gets to you.
Yeah, you know? there are easier and harder relationships to be in.
Yes, this is true, but I really do think that, like, you're always going to leave fingerprints.
Yeah,
you know?
Yes. But there are no, like, perfect relationships.
Yes, but there's, like, an impulse when you break up with someone to be like, everything they did was bad, actually, and actually it was a super toxic relationship.
Yes.
You know?
And Lynn is like, oh, I can't blame any of this on her. It is literally all my fault.
She's like, what am I going to do? Say that the fact that she, like, helped take care of me and helped me get back on my feet and reminded me that I'm worth loving was a bad thing, and she was actually taking advantage of me by doing that? Like, fuck off, me. Yes. The surprising thing to me was that they ended up together.
Yes. Well,
so to speak. I mean, you don't know what the future holds. But, like, the story ends on them deciding to, like, that it's going to work, that they are still going to try this.
Well, yes. The part that I love about the ending is that Lynn, Macy says, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And then says, like, okay, so, like, do you love me?
Mm-hmm.
And Lynn thinks, like, oh, if I love her, I should let her go. Because I'm never going to, if I truly love her, I cannot be the partner that she deserves.
Mm.
She is better than I deserve as a partner. Like, I'm going to make mistakes in the future. I am not the kind of person that, like, does well with relationships.
Uh-huh.
And then says, anyway, I love you.
Yes. But this is this is the thing where I'm like, if you love something, love is always selfish.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, she is doing this thing where she's, like, inventing this idea of a perfect relationship, or, like, a person who deserves Macy. You know what I mean? And, like, no one deserves another person. You don't deserve another person's time. You never do.
Mm-hmm.
You choose to spend time with someone else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Macy wants to be with her, too. You know? But, so... I like this thing where she's like, where, like, if you love something, let it go is kind of nonsense. You know what I mean? Because Macy doesn't want to go.
Yes. I guess what I mean by that is, like,
I think it's a great, like, tension. The way she's thinking about it is really good and really, like, meaty.
What Lynn is saying when she's saying that is, like, we're going to have more arguments. I am going to hurt her more in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't let her leave.
Yes. And, like, Macy has hurt her, too. You know what I mean? There's something you could say about... yes, I don't think it's true that this is all Lynn's fault. I think it's, like, probably 90%.
Yes.
It's like... But Macy is also really withdrawn and unwilling to talk about stuff, too. And not willing to push.
Yeah.
And willing to let things get really, really bad. And even though Lynn is also doing that, Lynn is also the one who's pushing them forward.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, like, this is what I meant earlier about Macy kind of being in the closet. I think that there's, like, an argument you could make for the closet is, like, some idea that kind of started to, I think it was really big when we were in high school, right?
Yeah.
And started to fall apart because gay being gay kind of just, like, it's not normal and it's being re-demonized, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of did become normal. It wasn't illegal anymore. Gay marriage is legalized. This is not as strong a victory as people hoped at the time. But, like, people still are in the closet sometimes, but it's not the same kind of feeling anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But for trans people, I feel like it... For a certain type of trans person, passing and, like, pretending to be cis is such an important thing that is, like, completely alien to me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And she's that kind of girl.
As, yes.
Where she doesn't want to say it out loud.
Yes.
You know? It doesn't really feel like she wants to be trans.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
She is a truly like, oh yeah, if I could snap my fingers and just be a cis girl.
This is like, I get it. This or, alien.
I guess we don't know enough to say that that is who she is, but she is the type of person who's like, I don't want anyone to know.
I don't want
unless
anyone
I
to know.
Unless I like bring them in and tell them.
I have to tell them, yes. And like we get stuff where Lynn's like, she's so much better at being a woman than me.
Yeah.
And that's because of this like getting really caught up on presentation and making sure that you're perfect.
Yeah.
The fact that Lynn couldn't tell is in large part because of how well she was performing femininity in that way. You know what I mean? That it wasn't like obvious up front. I'm not particularly good at performing femininity in that way. You can hear my voice.
Yeah.
I did not do any voice training particularly.
Well, this is my thing
you can
of
see
like
it in me, you know.
Since I came out.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of closets. Since I figured out what I did want to shoot for with gender.
Mm-hmm.
It was like it was never being a girl.
Yes.
It was not being a boy.
I've said this, and I mean it, that if I had been born a girl instead, I would be a trans guy right now.
Uh-huh.
Because the thing that was attractive to me was never being a girl. It is like line crossing.
Yes. And so it's like...
That's why I also say I was not born in the wrong body. This is something I became.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Because the kind of person that I am. And I would have become something else if I was a different shape.
Yes. This is, I would also be like a hot envy if I was born a girl.
So this is why, like, I've never really been, like, specifically drawn to non-binary as an identity. However, it's really the only way I can describe myself because I know that the tension of being something else is what's drawing me into transness,
mm-hmm.
not specifically femininity.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So... This is all to say that I really like the ending of this
mm-hmm.
because it's left like nothing's resolved.
No,
they're not going to magically be like wonderful partners now.
It feels like, yeah, we're going to give this another shot.
Yeah.
You know, and
there's going to be more pain and arguments in the future,
which is good.
That's not. Yeah,
that's relationships.
This is really a kind of relationship that you could look at and say, this seems like problematic or like abusive or but it's just yes
mm-hmm.
my experience of relationships is like yes every relationship is possible.
This is the thing is like if your primary relationships are online, it's not that those relationships aren't real, but if you don't have like a physical presence in that person's life, it's really easy to slip into this mode, and I've been in this mode with partners before where it's just I text you and I give you support
mm-hmm.
and we talk about nice things and we never have to talk about the bad stuff. Or if we talk about the bad stuff, it's venting back and forth about something that's happening in our physical life.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not to say that this isn't a partner, but it's a very different kind of experience than living with someone and being with someone in physical proximity.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Completely changed the dynamic. I think there's some people whose primary relationships are all online and they're like, oh, it's really easy to have a clean relationship because of when you're online, you're performing. And it's a lot easier to pretend to be a person who's in a good relationship than it is to be a good person in a relationship.
Or be, like, cutely dysfunctional in some way.
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff that is like, oh, that's fine, until you actually have to live with someone and you're like, I'm going to strangle this person unless they change this thing.
About because, right, like, when you're always performing when you're with another person. You're always performing mm-hmm. for yourself, too.
Mm-hmm.
Life is performing. But, like, mm-hmm. online...
Then the artist saying
it's true.
Yes, yeah.
To live is an art in and of itself, then. And that's why we must be punished for it.
Mm-hmm.
No, what I'm getting at is when your primary relationship is on means of communication is like online or over the phone or anything like that, there's so much information you can withhold that you can't withhold when you're in person.
Mm-hmm.
There is the little twitch in your face that the other person recognizes as you're not being sincere with me,
mm-hmm.
right? That you can hide that in text. If you let that bleed through in text, most of the time it's because you want to let that bleed through.
Yes.
You know what I mean? it's easy to not let that stuff slip. And it's just such a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a pleasingly messy relationship wherein both parties have hurt each other, but no one is evil.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of these girls are evil. None of them.
Yes.
Like, they've hurt each other. The harm is real, but this isn't like, and this is, again, I've been in a relationship for a very long time. You know, we've gone through phases of like extreme distress. I can't say that every moment of this relationship has been good for me as a person, but fighting for that relationship is important for me.
Every moment of my relationship with you has been good for me as a person.
I've been in a relationship with someone other than Fenn for a lot longer.
Yeah.
Or Heather. You know what I mean? But me and Fenn have been together for a long time, and things have been difficult with us occasionally, too.
Yeah.
Maybe not as difficult, but again, I've had a lot of experience and I'm better at managing this stuff than I used to be, right? Also, they're college kids.
Yes.
They're not like kids, but they're like in college.
Macy's a little older.
She has not graduated yet.
Oh.
Or maybe she has.
Oh, yeah.
She's not that much older. Oh, maybe this is another point where people were like, actually, there's like a 5-year age gap between them, even though they're both in their 20s, so maybe it's really bad. But that's nonsense. Like,
they might
are fictional characters.
They might be the same age because Lynn is still sophomore year despite being in her 20s. Right.
But like, they're both in their 20s.
Yes.
Macy's not 30-some. She's still getting the feel for things, you know? Mm-hmm. But like, it's a normal relationship.
Yeah.
Is what's good about it. This is not some like super high drama, mega fucked up relationship. It is like dramatic, but relationships get here.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're together for a long time. Maybe they like kind of speed run it, but people cheat. People cheat all the time.
Yeah.
That stuff happens. You know? What are you thinking? I've kind of been monologuing about my thoughts about relationships.
It is definitely interesting how much blame you lay at Macy's feet, let me finish this thought to make it clear what I'm actually trying to say is I think I relate to Lynn and therefore am like, well, obviously it was all my fault. Well, obviously, like, of course Lynn is the sole person who has ever done anything wrong in this relationship because I relate to her.
That's just wrong. She's just like, perspective, she's just wrong about that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Did she fuck up big time?
Yes.
Could you say maybe if you were to really tallying it up, if God and the devil were like lining things up on scales, you know what I mean? Would it probably be mostly Lynn's fault?
Yeah.
Probably. But like, Macy's not blameless, and you can't. This is going to be a problem later on, is Lynn's insistence that Macy is some kind of goddess who has graced her with her time.
Mm-hmm.
When she's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That will be chapter 12 or something like that, is the big fight they have over that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When she finds out like Macy's not paying her taxes or something and it causes a bunch of trouble. Or like Macy's got like a huge credit card bill because of all the money she's been giving Lynn without saying anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ooh. Just to like look cool for her because she can't let it go.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a fantastic time, I think.
No, I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yes, I think it's quite good. I remember it's the site that this is hosted on, the like IF Foundation site, is that what
IFDB?
It was? IFDB has like 20 reviews, very mixed. It's like a 3 or 4.1 star maybe or something like that, and a lot of people didn't like it, but all of the reviews, all of the like written out reviews are like, this is life changing. This like totally changed my perspective on et cetera, et cetera. I think that's really funny. The people who took the time to like write about it really liked it.
Okay, yes. Two of those three are people I'm in a Discord with.
That's really funny. Which is how you found out about it. Yeah.
Yes.
And the bit where it's revealed that Lynn did fuck Macy after that, and then she's like, I can't believe you fucking did that after cheating on me. She's like, I took a shower first. And Macy's just like, you bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely right, gonna...
Like, this is the insistence that it isn't a love story, because, like, well, it's, yes, not it's not, like, a pure romance.
Yes. Yes.
It's a relationship.
It then kind of clarifies what it means by love story, which is the, like, oh, like, heart pounding, mm-hmm. like, hanging on their every word, and it's like, no, it's a messy relationship about a... or a messy story about a relationship.
Mm-hmm. You did click through to their to the writer's Twitter account, which has like a Kanon header and an Alfard like profile pic, and they're working on a comedy time travel.
They were in 2016 last used that Twitter.
That's really funny.
Yeah,
that sounds right.
Yes.
Well, shout outs. If you're listening, unnamed wait, what's the writer's name? What are they credited?
Kaleidofish.
Well, shout outs. You made a really good IF game.
Yeah.
Hope you're still making stuff, even if it's not on the internet.
I am excited to play more stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not an IF person, so like most of the stuff that I pick out is going to be stuff that Castell on mm-hmm. Twitter. Has like held up as interesting. And yeah, I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm excited to read more.
Play it.
It's free.
Search Venus, like, Meets Venus.
45 minutes or so. It's not too long.
All right, what are we covering first, Ben?
Well, we're doing it in chronological order, Ben.
So what is it?
It's Room of the April Witch.
Okay.
This is weird.
It's an odd little thing.
This was the Type Moon did, possibly still does.
Type Moon in their fairy tale era right now. This is not written by Nasu, yes?
No, it was written by...
It has some, like, Nasu-esque, like... preoccupations,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? But as like a little short story that they did as like a fun timed thing on their website, I think this is very fun. You know,
it was written by Hoshizora Medio, who has also written Fire Girl, World Conquest, Zaveda Plot, some stuff in Grand Order, Fate Requiem.
Requiem is it.
And has a writing credit on Girls Work.
Oh, good. When's Girls Work coming out again, Fen?
Right after Mahoyo 7? Is that the one that Nasu made an allusion to in an interview where he's like, oh yeah, part of this Grand Order event like references Mahoyo 7?
What a guy. You know, I hear it's going to come out right, like, timed with Tsukihime 2.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this was a April Fool's, story.
Not really. It's April-themed. It's April 1st day themed.
So, what they did prior to this, we haven't covered any of those, but prior to this, those were, like, little... gag things, as you might expect of an April 1st thing.
This is more, like a poetic, like, fairy tale
one. yes.
And also, is this our first encounter with this writer on iPod?
I think the wiki page also said
did he write something for
Holodoraxia, uncredited though, so like
not sure which. I'm sure someone will.
Yes,
Catherine, I know you're listening to this. If you know exactly what story, you can let us know.
I believe that, like, Fate Requiem is the first big thing that we're gonna run into that is, like, all him.
Mm-hmm.
Also, well, no, and some Grand Order stuff.
Yeah. Okay. This is about a witch named April.
Mm-hmm.
She is burned at the stake. Some stuff happens.
It's
basically... she's cursed. She ends up hanging out in her room, closing herself off from the world. She's immortal. And I don't know what the lie is. It says something about her telling a lie. There's no lie there. I can't tell what the lie was supposed to be. It's maybe bad translation, but like...
Possibly. I was like, oh, earlier this week. I was like, this is 10 pages.
Is the lie that she didn't want to die?
Yeah, maybe. I was like, oh, I could read this in Japanese. It's 10 pages.
Mm.
How long could it be? And then spent far too long looking for a copy of it in Japanese on the internet. And that does not exist as far as I could find.
Damn.
With my bad Japanese Google Foo.
Yeah.
Did
you say Google Foo?
Have you not heard that before?
Oh,
what?
I'm back. I'm okay.
Have you not heard that term before?
I have now, Fen, and that's all that matters.
Okay. With my bad ability to Google things in Japanese, I could not find a copy of this. So, yes, I'm unclear. But, yeah.
The important thing is, she locks herself in her room every April 1st. Her name is April.
Yeah.
Every April 1st, she unlocks the door for a day, and people come in and bother her.
Yes.
Like, one person a year is kind of what it feels like.
We get a bunch of
when I read the first page, I was like, oh shit, this is gonna be impossible to talk about. And then it like turns into this person visited.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, this will be really easy to talk about.
Yes.
Let's run him down. Fen, who's the blind guy?
Let me open your thing. The blind guy.
This is one
he comes in
real, like, wouldn't it be fucked up if story.
Oh, I wish I could see. And then he sees and is like, oh, this sucks, actually. And then leaves and never opens his eyes again.
It's so funny because he like sees her. She's like, whoa. He's like, whoa, you're hot as hell, babe. And he looks up and he's like, what the fuck is that thing? And she's like, it's the moon. He's like, no, I'm done. Closes his eyes and he never opens them again. Very silly.
Yep. The witch hunter.
Wait.
Oh.
At this point, I thought that when you went into the room, you had to tell a lie, and then you would get an ironic genie wish, basically. Mm-hmm. But you can just ask for things, and she'll try and give them to you.
Yeah.
They're not really, like... The bit that they're going for is that people keep asking for things that they're making wrong wishes.
Mm-hmm.
It says at some point that finding out what your actual wish is harder than having it granted,
yes,
which I think is
a good
line.
That's a good line. The witch hunter.
It's so funny, though, that the blind guy, the reason that he doesn't actually want to see is because the moon is very big and scary. It's dumb. Yes, the witch hunter. Hey, Fen, do you remember Sad Blood?
No, because you told me not to play it.
Yeah, some guy comes in, rapes her, and kills her, and dismembers her, and burns her heart, and runs away with it. She's fine.
Yeah.
Doesn't really affect her. Just funny. Sucks.
Yeah.
The curious suitor. Have you ever heard about heterosexual love and reproduction, Fen?
I sure have.
Didn't really help
her
here.
It was better. It was okay. Yes, it didn't really help. It was also better when Arkoid did it, because she seemingly just asexually reproduces, which is cool.
Into that.
Guy,
she could have fucked a guy.
Guy comes in, falls in love. Hangs out, has a kid with her. Kid's so cool and smart that
kid grows up fast. I wonder how fast that is.
That the kid was like, I want to leave this one single room, please, and thank you. And is let out. And then the suitor, a while after, is like, hey, I'm kind of curious about our kid. Can I go see him? And then he never comes back.
Yeah, he's like worried about what the rapidly aging child of a witch. Who's super smart for his age also is going to get up to. April's bummed about this. She's not super happy. She apparently liked spending time with that guy. The
wandering
saint.
This one's you.
Oh, right, we're alternating. He's like an old doll maker who people decided has magic power. He's like, I hate this. They say that I'm a saint, but I'm just like a guy. I can't even make dolls anymore. Can you give me some magic powers? And she's like, oh, yeah, you can have my powers. And he's like, no, that seems fucked up. I don't actually want that. And she's like, well, at least when you die, people will remember you as a human and not a saint. And he's like, okay, I don't believe you. And he leaves, and then he dies, and everyone remembers him as a saint.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, she said that he was going to be remembered as a human. But I guess the thing is
you
that
said
he...
that.
Well, okay, good.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's... A lot of these aren't super compelling.
No.
The sick woman.
Let's see. Oh, right. Yeah. She gets mistreated and is chased away from her home because her family doesn't like her because she's sick.
They burn her house down.
Yeah. April is immune to sickness and so just kind of takes care of her. She's like, hey, do you want me to, like, heal you? And she's like, no, I'm good, actually. I'm like, saying goodbye to life. Just, like, you know, keep me comfy and keep me company. And April does.
April's super bummed about this.
Yeah.
Merchant.
The merchant.
This is mine. Some guy shows up and he's like, hey, babe, what do I have to do to get you into a new car today? This used car salesman guy. He's like, hey, you need medicine, right? And she's like, I'm immortal. No, you need a gun, right? I have magic powers, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, listen, I can't leave without making a sale. And she's like, okay, I'll take all your stuff. And then she, like, gives him a vision of, like, Angermanu, basically, for some reason. And he, like, his hair grows as white payment? And he leaves. Yeah, she says it as payment, but I'm not really sure why that would be good payment. Anyway, he, like, freaks out. His hair goes white and he kind of just leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Juniper and Hanju?
Yes. Hanju, yeah, the kids from a village nearby. They wander in, and Juniper's like, hey, what a nice tea set you have. I'm awful thirsty. And
first
Hanju's
named
like,
characters we had, right?
Yes. Hanju's like, be nice to her. Leave her alone. And yeah, they eventually leave. They have tea and then leave.
April doesn't talk to them. She just kind of watches them bop around, it seems like.
The quack!
Cool, you know? Another fucking used car salesman, fucking snake oil type guy, he comes in and just like steals her hair and fingernails and stuff like that. And it's like, listen, babe, you're really sick. You got fucking witch disease or some shit. Let's get you out of here. You can pay me a lot of money later, presumably. He tries to drug her and drag her out of the room. And then, he collapses into body parts and disappears.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah. Guess she didn't like it. She didn't want to go.
Uh-huh. Sorry, I saw your note for the unpopular artist, which is, now we're talking.
The invisible dog found.
A badly mistreated dog shows up who's invisible. You can hear his, like, toenails on the tatami or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
On the hardwood. I don't know what kind of floor she has. You can, yeah. But, and if you hold him, he bites you and runs away.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of, like, hangs out for a while. He barks at the door sometimes. And
he's a ghost dog with a ghost owner.
Yeah.
The owner visits twice. I'm not sure how long between. Seems like a while.
Feels like, yes. I think it says after a year.
It says specifically that they don't come during April 1st.
Okay.
Because they're dead. They're dead.
Right. Right, right. This is where we get the, like, only the living, or the living can only come on April 1st.
Yes.
The dead can come whenever. But the dog, like, the first time just chases away the owner, and then the second time, April's like, oh, do you want to go check on him?
Mm-hmm.
And opens the door, and the dog runs away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, yeah, that was the only time that she took a familiar, was mm-hmm. that dog. The unpopular artist, Ben Enns.
Ouch. Fuck. I mean, it's true, but shit, fuck.
You're
damn.
Popular.
That's,
you're number one. You're number one in my heart.
Oh my god.
That should matter.
That does matter a lot. He's like, I suck shit at art. I need cooler paintbrushes. And I need canvas that flows like water.
And is made of threads of faith or something?
Yes. And she's like, okay. She's like writing it all down. He's like, no, that's stupid. None of that's even possible. And she's like, well, it's okay to, like, chase after impossible things. And he's like, I'm so fucking inspired right now that I'm just gonna go and make this on my own. I don't need any magic. Thank you, babe. I'm out of here. This one's funny because he's an artist.
Yeah.
I liked this one.
Mm-hmm.
I also liked this next one. The Vampire Princess.
This is not Arkweed, unfortunately.
This is not.
Her name is May.
The third or fourth named character. Because we got April, then we got the two kids, and now we got May.
Oh, yes.
Unless you count the fool, see. I guess he gets named at the beginning.
Does he?
Yeah. Was it like a little poem about April and the fool at the beginning?
Oh. They just like hang out and bond over being immortal and are both like, damn, this kind of sucks though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, May says that maybe one day the god that cursed April will die, and then is like, I'm gonna bye.
She flaps
bye, babe. She has scarlet wings.
Uh-huh. She's cool. More like a kiss shot than Arkweed.
Yes. Yeah. The girl reading this.
I'm pointing at myself. Yes, there's a funny bit where it's like, yes, you reader, you are the next visitor to this room. Let's play a little word game.
Well, April's napping.
April's
let's
napping.
Play. Let's play a little word game.
Uh-huh.
Who's telling this?
The narrator.
Okay.
Fairy tale. Okay. Okay. Did they get it right for you?
What? Okay.
You didn't play the game. Fan, how could you not play the game?
Top 10 anime betrayals. Ben just said I have to think about some stuff in case her mic didn't pick it up.
We were presented with a game. Anyway, they did not get it right at all for me.
Yeah.
There's like oh, pick one of these things and then pick something based on this and then et cetera, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. The narrator says that I ended up with Puppet Show. This is not true.
Mm-hmm.
April wakes up at that point and hands me a rose. Me, mm-hmm. the reader. I also didn't pick Rose. I ended up with the Covered Wagon.
Mm.
That's fine. I don't know if it was I played the game incorrectly. It was supposed to both be wrong, or translation just butchered it. Whatever the joke was that they were trying to lead you down.
No, I think the impression I got was that, like, whether correct or not, the it was just a game to pass time.
I see.
While April was napping.
The other way you could read it is that the narrator fucks up and April gives you what you really want, which I think would be a fun if she got it right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder how the Japanese is phrased and if there's some kind of pun that's leading you towards Rose that just didn't translate properly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The long wait.
No one comes for a while.
Do you want to do the fool too?
And then the fool. Yeah, we could. I can.
I'll do leaving the room.
Ben, I love it when a man and a woman fall in love and live happily ever after. Okay.
Yeah.
Or die happily ever after.
Yeah, this one, she doesn't even have kids with this one. He just dies.
He visits once a year and they have a nice time. Is she bad at cooking? Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
She cooked for him with actual food instead of magic.
Yes.
He was brave, so he ate some more.
Yep. He visits once a year, and when he's about to die, he's like, hey, there are no more people in the world. You can, like, come out after
Importantly, he says, the thing I'm about to tell you is a lie. And then says this big thing about how the world is ending. Has ended, and he's the last person to die.
Yes. My grave is, like, right down the road.
Mm-hmm. Or will be.
Will be. Visit it if you feel like it. And then dies, presumably.
Never comes back.
And then she leaves the room.
Leaving the room. Apparently believing that he was telling the truth despite it being a lie. It turns out she leaves the room and turns out that he was actually lying. People are fine. In fact, everyone's immortal now and has superpowers and can grant their own wishes. And she's normal now, too.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, wow, I finally got to leave my room and everything is good, actually. And then she's so happy that she dies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fairy tale, I guess.
That was fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a fun little thing. For what it is, I think it's fun, but it's not going to stick in my teeth or anything like that, right?
No.
It's like a cute little adventure story.
If in 2011, yes. If I went to the Type Moon website in 2011, on April 1st, and read this, I'd be like, oh, hell yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, it's got some Type Moon preoccupations. It's got like the immortal girls. It's got this like idea of like escaping the bonds of like suffering, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be a good thing here, kind of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
but and like bad wishes, I guess.
Yeah,
it's got the it's a little bit Fate Zero, this like idea of like fucking up what your wish actually is, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. But you know, I don't think it's particularly deep.
The best part of it is definitely the bit where she's talking with a fool.
The fool.
Where she's like, finding out what your real wish is harder than granting it.
Yes. Yes. Then, yeah. Yes. That's good.
Yep.
That's all.
Yep.
Time for one more. One more?
Koha Ace.
We need to do pickups cleaner. I realized this when I was listening to the pickup from last time. We need to have a better, like, introduction to the pickup,
yeah,
because it did not sound, it didn't, it kind of was inexplicable. We just started talking different.
I'm so sorry, dear.
Okay,
listener.
I'm just thinking about it.
I almost said dear reader.
Dear reader.
Shout outs to Idle Thumbs, Twin Peaks rewatch. That's the word I was searching for. We're continuing to watch Twin Peaks, The Return.
Yes.
And it's very good.
It's quite good.
Twin Peaks rewatch is a joy to listen to alongside of it.
Mm-hmm. Kind of drop that in there.
You were talking about pickups, and I almost said, sorry, dear readers, which is, that's their bit, is that they call their listeners readers.
I see, I see.
It's reader mail, etc. What?
No, not you. I was just thinking of when we get to CCC or some other work that reflexively calls people pigs, you know what I mean? Mm. We can start calling our readers pigs. I was also thinking of the Oinky Doink.
We could still go, but...
No, we're not going to the Oinky Doink.
Okay.
If I'm going to LA, it has to be for something more than an awkward maid cafe experience.
Mm-hmm.
With a bunch of sweaty nerds.
Yeah. You're of course right that, like, reality would suck.
Yes.
But, like, the beautiful version of this that lives inside of my head... where we don't have to work out all of the logistics is like, that would be pretty fun.
Yes, if it was coming to Boston. I feel like it's more Oinky Doink to come to Boston than LA, but...
Yeah, geez. At least New York, because we can take the train to New York.
Yeah. Yes, if it was on this coast, I would not want to do it, but I would seriously consider it.
Mm-hmm.
Koha Ace.
We did the... Okay. So... There is one version of this called exactly Koha Ace.
Yes. Koha Ace is a comic that ran in, what's the name of this magazine?
It's the Lucky Bags joke that they keep making.
They do make
it's like
it's some Bishoujo Game magazine, some like famous Bishoujo Game magazine.
Famous
and it's
is strong.
A famous among Bishoujo Game people.
Yeah.
Presumably.
Probably, yeah.
It's probably, I would guess it's one of the big ones of those.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what I was getting at, I didn't know what to expect from this. So what it is, what's the mangaka's name?
Oh, let me, one sec. Kei Kenji.
Mm-hmm. It is framed as Kohaku and Akiha doing a 10-year anniversary. It's actually 11 years, they say, but 10 is a much nicer number.
Yes.
Retrospective of Type Moon up to this point. And then every year they talk about the release or releases that year. And go back in time through a time hole that Kohaku calls a bunch of different things, gives a bunch of different excuses for, to speak with the characters from that game, and also to bring Ryder in, because Kohaku has a real thing for Ryder.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
She wants to lick Ryder all over.
She wants to lick Ryder all over.
Who's among us?
The building of that bit is really funny, because Akiha's increasingly like, why is Ryder here again? And then she's just, later on, Kohaku's just like, I just like her, okay? And then later on, she does the bit about wanting to lick her all over. That's good. I was really enjoying the beginning of this.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun.
Three chapters have a good translation and are funny.
Yes,
and...
yes. So the bit kind of gets old. Seems that there was some tension between the mangaka and the Type Moon.
Or that feels like the typical,
you know,
joking.
It's a little bit of a joke, but it's also like, I wonder how much access they actually had, because they don't actually have a lot of information. It feels like
yeah.
There's some details that feel like, oh, I got to talk. I was like either in the know, a friend, or got to talk with people who worked on this.
There's one bit where they, where in character they specifically say like, oh yes, we learned this from Takeuchi.
Yes.
But it feels like mostly the kind of like people who have been following Type Moon will get these jokes.
Yes,
because it was like common knowledge in this era.
Yeah, like we get chapter one, Tsukihime, the year 2000. There's a joke that seems to imply that Akiha was super unpopular when the first poll for the Half Moon Edition came out, which is really funny. We get a bunch of reoccurring jokes about Kohaku being a gamer that are very fun at first, and then kind of wear as they go on.
She's a Sega girl, in case you were curious.
Yeah, there's like a cute bit where Kohaku is like pitching Ryder on Tsukihime as hard as she can. This cute character in the apron is the lead role. She's so true. Yes, and apparently the first edition of Tsukihime that was released, not the Half Moon edition, but like the first final version, had a bug that let you pick any route instead of having any rails at all, which is very funny.
That's really funny.
Stuff like that's very fun.
Mm-hmm.
The art is very silly, but it's cute. You know? They're little beasties.
Yeah. It is fine when it's just Kohaku and Akiha.
It's kind of hard to tell who they are.
There are definitely points where I'm like, okay, who is this?
The Kagetsu Toya chapter reveals that Kagetsu Toya is a like play on a Yume Juya, which is 10 Nights of Dream, a 1918 novel or collection of poetry. 1908 collection of like short stories or poetry by Natsume Sosuke.
That's really funny.
Yes. Oh, this is also there's a lot of jokes about how MaHoYo got delayed.
Hey Ben, by the time this ends, I don't think that MaHoYo's out yet.
A release date was announced by the end of it.
Yes. But it's not until April 2012 that it finally ends.
We also get Akira Seo, speaking of her, as a RPL, Real People fan fiction, Takeuchi X Nasu shipper, which is really funny. And also, there's a bunch of a recurring bit that I think is very funny while Akiha and Kohaku have actual, like, power over the story, is that Kohaku keeps starting shit with other doujin game makers. And like talking shit about bad eroge and like shitty doujin games with like bad mini games in them, and Akiha's like, sorry, we're not talking about anyone in particular, she's just joking.
And then in the anonymous comment section they're like, yes, we're talking about the fan disc for Shizuku from Leaf.
Really funny. There's a bit also where there's like an anonymous comment section where everyone has like a name that is very obvious who they are, but it's like, you know, the master, the servant, or the head of household, the servant, and then Yumizuka is just Sachin, and she's like, that's not anonymous.
Wait, is Caster the Rock? There's someone who's like referred to as like the domestic rock or something.
I don't remember.
It would make sense.
Kaku, also a big Tokimeki Memorial fan. This 2002 is when we start getting Saber, who the fame has really gone to her head in this.
She's so confident.
Yes. She's doing bits about how like she thought that the Tsukihime crew were all melty characters, and how this is, having just finished A Piece of Blue Glass Moon, there are so many jokes about how long it's taking to get Tsukihime remake. And this 10 years before Blue Glass Moon comes out, at least like 11 from this point.
11? Yeah, when does Blue Glass Moon come out? No. When is Blue Glass Moon? 2021. So 10 years.
They bring in Ryder to talk about Melty Blood because she has purple hair like Sion. Which is silly. The good bit of that is that Yumi Zuka shows up to defend Sion's honor and be like, no, bring Sion here. I love Sion.
Yeah. Bakalei Alliance member Sion.
There's also, at the end of every chapter, we get like little character introductions that sometimes have funny little bits in them. Although we start to lose this, some of the extraneous stuff as translation goes on and things get worse.
Mm-hmm.
Akira is apparently a Fujoshi type character. they say that a couple times in here. She didn't seem like too much of a Fujoshi in,
She does seem like if you had to pin one character down as a Fujoshi.
Yeah.
I think it's probably her. True.
There's also Yumi Zuka. They call Yumi Zuka's popularity inexplicable and that she's about to unseat CL. Even though CL is a main heroine.
People love Sachin.
I love her. Have you seen her? She got those strawberry hands.
Yeah.
Strawberry paws.
Strawberry girl paws.
Let's see. 2003, Tsukibako, right before Fate comes out.
Still a doujin circle.
Yep, the very end of them being a doujin circle. They also talk about the Tsukihime anime and CL becoming a spaghetti girl.
Yeah. And how everyone thought that pre-release Saber was Jeanne d'Arc.
This is a good guess.
Female knight.
This is a really good guess. Let's see. Oh, and also they get the heroines together. Rin's here now, but also Ryder is standing in for Sakura. She's upset about it.
Uh-huh.
Ryder continuing to be Sakura's number one hype man.
Yeah.
Good for her. 2004, Fate's Day Night.
Saber's over the moon.
Saber's turned into a cocky little shit.
She's the coolest woman in existence.
Akiha's mad that Rin has stolen both her main color and the first kanji of her last name.
Uh-huh.
Tono and Tosaka. I did not realize they had the same kanji. Mm. That's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else? Kohaku and Akiha are worried that Fate might get remade before it does.
Which, hey, guess what?
It kind of did.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a full remake, but...
Ryota Nua did significantly edit.
Yeah, but it's not the same thing. Having read Tsukihime Remake, I can say it's not the same thing. Fen's rolling her eyes. This is also the chapter where we start getting extremely racist, like, Reddit guy Fantiel outros. And the translation quality will never improve. Only downhill from here.
Or, I would say, never recover.
Yes. Yes. That is what I meant, but that is a better way to put it. I stopped having fun around here. Not just because some, like, shitty racist, like, Reddit guy, or I think it goes through a couple hands. Not just because that kind of person is translating, but because they have that, like, shithead edgelord, like, localization is a sin, and you need to translate things purely thing going on, so they just translate like shit, and you can hardly understand what people are saying anymore.
Yes.
And they seem to be cutting out bits that they don't want to translate.
Mm-hmm.
Sucks.
Yeah. It gets harder to understand what is happening, and let alone like
jokes are
trying to preserve the funniness of jokes.
Yes.
It's just like,
and I think the jokes are also getting stale at this point.
Yeah.
Probably, but sure. Like, fuck, maybe if it had a better translation, I would find out that it's still funny all the way through, and it's just like the translation is so bad. This isn't even like a super old translation. This is just a couple years ago. There are still guys like this, you know. What I mean, miserable. Most of what I read that isn't fan translated is Yuri.
Yes. Which
not immune to this.
No.
There are definitely edgelordy, like, Yuri fans, and, like, even, like, women fan translators who still are, like, part of these circles, you know what I mean? But, like, typically, just, like, percentage-wise, it's much lower and much less upfront about it most of the time.
I don't see a lot of, like, homophobic comments in translator pages on Yuri.
No. But we did get some here.
Oh, we sure did.
I'll have less to say at this point because I started taking less good notes. And, you know, this is pretty light anyway. It was like a funny read early on. The framing starts to also come unraveled here because there's less like big releases, you know?
So yes, like, this is the problem of like, oh, suddenly Type Moon is a company and they're putting out less stuff.
Yeah.
Or
they're putting out more stuff, but less tentpole stuff.
Yeah.
Less big stuff that you can build it around, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yes, there's an anime, there's Carnival Phantasm, there's manga, there's Hollow Ataraxia, but only Hollow Ataraxia can really build a chapter around.
And yes.
Et cetera, et cetera.
But we have to mention all of these other things, which takes away time from just doing Hollow Ataraxia.
You know what was great? Hollow Ataraxia was great.
Yeah.
Bizet.
Great.
Apparently Sakura very unpopular when the original game came out, and Hollow Ataraxia did not help.
I do appreciate Ryder being like, please just swap with me.
Very popular Ryder, yes.
Yes.
I also think that Hollow Ataraxia only hurt my opinion of Sakura, but I do generally like Sakura. This is the thing, is that like I just don't like Fate Stay Night very much.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to admit this, you know? But, like, Sakura is one of the better characters in Fate Stay Night.
Mm-hmm.
So, she would be pretty high on my personal list.
I like parts of Fate Stay Night.
I actually think that I rated her pretty low.
Yeah.
Yes. Some parts of Fate Stay Night are good. But it's no insane voice. It's no Tsukihime.
the 108 Takeuchi Sabers is a pretty good joke.
Yes.
We
get best.
What sin is Blue Saber?
Gluttony.
Oh. Red is pride.
Mm.
Pride? Lost? I have to look at a
art.
List of like.
No. Nero's is art. the sin of art.
Buddhist evils are.
Yes, we get a couple new people showing up. We get Bizet, the model useless adult.
Mm-hmm.
We get Nero is here. CCC has a release date, apparently. They didn't really mention Extra, but they talked about CCC.
When does CCC release? It's not until 2013. That must have gotten pushed back.
Yeah. The translation note, which again, I take this with a pretty strong grain of salt. It claims that Karen and Bizet were both originally Tsukihime 2 characters, but were repurposed for Hollow Ataraxia. Karen, obvious.
Yes.
She's the girl in the Sympathy for the Devil truck.
Yeah.
That's the exact same character.
Uh-huh.
Just nicer. She's nicer in there.
Uh-huh.
Bizet.
I could see her design being a...
Okay.
Like,
is the...
Gloves wearing, like, tough girl... Seems like a...
There is like the, like, the hunter who attacks that vampire castle. Who's, like, a tough girl. She's, like, the head of, like, a bunch of knights or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
So I wonder if, like, the loose pitch for Bizet comes from her or something like that.
Well, this is character design, not, like, backstory.
That's interesting.
I would fully believe that, like... Oh, yeah, she was ripped from whatever backstory was, like, being assigned to her and completely rewritten.
But also, take this with a grain of salt. Some freak is writing this. Who knows what
Well, I think that was a... I don't know. Maybe that was...
It might be a known fact.
Notes. No, what I mean is, that might have been a translator note. I feel like that was one of those, like, the mangaka saying.
Oh, it said TL note over.
Oh, did it?
But they might be getting it from the... Yeah. Manga somehow. I'm not really sure.
Yeah,
it's possible that it says it in the like character profile at the end of the chapter, and they just didn't feel like translating that because they stopped translating those, and they just wrote it out or something like that. But again, Karen is credible. It's
yes,
we know. We know she's in that truck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see. More awful translator notes. Fate Zero, 2006. I don't like Fate Zero.
No.
Putting a long pause in there just to scare people. This does have a bunch of mentions of Madoka.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You do like Madoka.
I do like Madoka.
It is funny seeing Mimi? Mommy in this manga's art style.
Yes, because she's
chapter.
Standing on the big Excalibur at the end. Yeah. Yes, there's a funny bit where they're like, oh yeah, Urobuchi washes blood with blood, and there's just like Sakura is like head like dangling like she's mommy about to drop from the monster's head.
Yeah.
And then Arkweed walks out carrying her own head and is like, hey, listen. Shit happens here too.
Yep.
Also, Waver is Fate Zero's single Moe character.
He sure is.
Yes. This is the beginning of Saber's everyone kind of hates her in Zero arc.
Uh-huh.
So she's getting her comeuppance finally, and everyone thinks Nero is super cute. So she's kind of getting shown up by Red Saber.
Yep.
Shoutouts. I love Nero.
I like Saber.
I do also like Saber. I'm looking at her. She's right there. But,
Saber.
Umu.
Yeah. I would get back to me when we start CCC, and I've just finished doing a Saber playthrough of Extra, and I'm like, oh, yeah, Saber's so good.
Yeah.
Red Saber's so good.
Chapter 8 is Tiger Colosseum and etc. This is mostly a joke about how no one cares about Tiger Colosseum.
Yep.
And
hey, guess what? We skipped it for a reason.
Yeah. Fate State Night play for the PlayStation 2. Not too much else there. Chapter 9 is like assorted stuff.
This is really where the like, oh, we don't even have a tent pole to like base this around.
Yes, MaHoYo having a release date is the big thing.
Yes.
And then chapter 9 is the end, supposedly. Kohaku asks Ronnie if Tsukihime remake has come out in 2030. No, she doesn't think so.
They then yell at what's his name? Zeltrek.
Mm-hmm.
Please help us.
Then there's a couple more chapters don't really know why they got more chapters, but they did. There's some jokes about Nasu hating the comic or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
There is one funny joke where they have Ishkandar watch Fate Zero or the Fate Unlimited Blade Works anime, and he's confused why he's so hot in that one because it's Ryder, it's Medusa.
Oh,
he's like, wow, yes. They made me so pretty. I think it's a little too pretty, maybe.
I did like Iskandar sitting down to conquer anime by drawing his biography and then going, I have to do how many drawings?
Yes. He ends up as a magical girl.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one likes his historical drama.
Yep.
Yeah. Koha Ace. Interesting little experience. Again, this is for fans. This is not a work.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hello, I like Tsukihime. Once the like framing device of Kohaku and Akiha like kind of talking Getcha style about the different things that happened kind of fell apart. There wasn't really as much like to carry you through,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Yes.
And yeah, there was less like interesting information about the later stuff and less stuff to grab onto in general. And then just the translation was so fucking bad.
Yes. Unfortunately, there are a bunch more volumes of this. Which I think that it does develop its own plot. Yes, I was going to say. I did get all of the volumes in Japanese.
I might just do that. It's just manga. I mean, it's kind of wordy manga, but like, fuck.
The chapters are not long.
No, they're not. It would take it from being, oh, this is a quick episode, or this podcast homework is short, yeah, to this podcast homework is normal sized for, yes, me. But it's definitely doable, and if it's still being translated by the same fucking people, then I really don't want to engage with it.
Yeah.
And like, this sucks because then we have to tell people who are listening to our podcast either read the shitty translation or
learn Japanese.
Hope you've learned enough Japanese to read it,
uh-huh,
which isn't really a fair expectation, but at the very least we can, you know, this podcast started as a way to talk about Grand Order for people in a way that they wouldn't have to play Grand Order.
Yes.
We can talk about stuff in Japanese that is only poorly translated in a way that you don't have to read the bad translation or know Japanese. We can do that at least. It's not the same as experiencing it, but this is something that we can do, theoretically.
And we're not doing the next volume for a while.
Yes.
I'm going to... We'll deal with we slotted this in when it began. I'm going to slot the other volumes in when the volume published. Because, like... Yeah, it was interesting going through this and going like, ah, yes, we have now, like, surpassed certain other things.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Carnival Phantasm anime coming out.
Yes.
They allude to. And it's like, ah, yes, we haven't gotten there yet.
Can't be that long.
No, it's like two episodes from now.
Anyway, let's move into the outro section and talk about that.
We are part of the Admiral Mapping Network.
Yes, we are.
It's raining.
Weather's been weird here lately.
Go listen to the other Abnormal Mapping podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else? Sorry. The exhaustion is finally coming.
I just realized, don't we have a couple questions?
Yes. You had talked about doing a questions.
Episode where we do. Maybe, but like, I feel like if we're gonna do that, it should be one of these episodes before we hit Mahoyo, right?
Oh, did you not want to do that as a Patreon pod?
No, I don't want to do that as a Patreon pod.
Yeah, then let's do questions. We are still part of the Abnormal Mapping Network, but okay, let me
undo the outro then.
Google.
Or we could do them next episode, because I'm kind of tired.
Okay, let's do them next episode. Next episode's also pretty light.
What is next episode?
Next episode, we are covering Multi-Blood X.
Okay, yes. We will... some people have sent in questions. We are very grateful.
Please send in
questions. I've had a very long week. I've just been busy. Not bad. It's all been good stuff. But I'm very tired, and this is a short episode, and I want to keep it that way.
Uh-huh.
We will do your questions next episode.
Thank you. I'm so sorry to some of you who had the questions long time ago sent in.
What the fuck did you just say? Fed, you're telling me that they of in the cold food and of out hot eat food.
Go listen to the normal mapping podcast.
Other normal mapping podcasts. Fen also needs to take a nap, it feels like. Fen, where can people find you on the internet?
Type fennec.moe into an address bar. That'll get you somewhere. Or you could find us, the show. I'll type moonarchive.art into the address bar. That'll get you to our show page.
Yep.
Which I think has links to co-host on Twitter.
Probably.
X, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. You can find me on Twitter at BenEnz. You can find me tweeting about my visual novel, which is on hold right now while I do a game jam game with Fen, friend of the pod, Catherine, and friend of Catherine's. But I will be restarting that soon. That jam is ending very soon, and I have not finished my work for it, but I will finish it up and go back to Reckless Sympathy.
Guys who also hasn't finished their work for it. It'll be fine.
It's going to be tight. Kind of a fly-by-night operation. But it'll be fine.
There's not much scripting that needs to get done, it seems like.
Yeah, I had some big plans, but I don't know that I'm gonna have time to do a lot of the stuff. Just mm-hmm. things got so busy, and mm-hmm. we really needed to work more upfront to.
Yeah.
But it's gonna be good. And then Reckless Sympathy development will begin again. I'm also on co-host at Ben Enns.
When's the release date for Reckless Sympathy Part 2, Ben?
It will be released before the new year.
Oh.
Yes. One part a year is the pace that it seems to be going at.
Rocket of Sympathy is the one game that I make an exception for of hating every episodic visual novel release.
Listen, it's not the nice thing about Reckless Sympathy. There's a few nice things about Reckless Sympathy, but one of those nice things is it's not a forever story.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very specific end. It's going to be 5 or 6 parts.
I don't know, Ben. That's a lot of years. That sounds like a forever story.
That is too many years, but it's not a forever story, and okay. It will be completed. Okay. Games take a long time to make, Fan. I don't know what to fucking tell you.
Yeah. I don't know what to... Yeah. Yeah, they do, Ben. They take a lot of work.
Uh-huh. But a significant portion of it is done.
Yeah. Like,
maybe half the backgrounds that I need. I have character designs for all the new characters. I have... What?
I'm just doing Gravity Paws. Give me...
Yeah, I know. I know. I hope you like new girls. There's some great new girls in this part.
I've seen at least one of them that I was delighted by.
Not the one I was expecting you to be delighted by. Or, no, it's not a surprise. But anyway.
What's that supposed to mean?
Things are going well, and I'm excited to get back to it. With any luck, I'll have it finished earlier than December, but...
I'm rooting for you.
Is there anything else? So next time we're covering...
We're doing Melty Blood X.
Melty Blood X, which is a manga?
Manga.
How many volumes? How many chapters?
All of it. I don't know. Oh, it only ran for like 7 months or something. So not a ton.
So like 30.
Well, I don't know if it was like bi-weekly or... One sec.
30 sounds like it could be.
Melty Blood X, 2 volumes, 12 chapters.
Only 12 chapters? I way overshot. Okay. 12 chapters, Melty Blood X. Okay. Yeah. What's our all-together jam game again?
Our all-together jam game is... We finished 2006!
Oh, hell yeah!
We made it to 2008. This first one sounds like kind of a stinker, though.
How long is it?
I don't know. But we are playing From the Bottom of the Heart.
Oh, no.
Oh, Ben, if you thought that this was about a sick boy, you would be absolutely correct.
Oh, no. I was like, a 2-year gap? People have grown up a little bit. Maybe they are looking for different things in their media and, like, will choose different stories to translate. Oh, no. I guess things change, but things stay the same.
Very short. 10 minutes.
Okay. That's a blessing, at least.
Again, I think 2008 is going to have one of the weirdest visual novels that I've ever played, and also, one of my favorite, even if I wouldn't say it is one of the best. So I am excited to get through 2008, but, this first one might set a not great, or we'll set an interesting...
Mm-hmm.
We'll set an interesting... what's the word I'm searching for?
Tone?
Tone. Yes. Okay.
Because we got to talk about one last thing.
What?
Yuri Tea Time.
Yeah. What are we doing for Yuri Tea Time, Ben?
Do you want to play the Malcatraz Maiden game?
Malcatraz Maiden?
This is the Hopeless Junction manga. Oh. I was like, it's a Tsukihime inspired game.
Yeah.
That's only a few hours long.
Sure.
That I liked Hopeless Junction a lot. I've been meaning to play this. I was like before I get into any heavy Japanese stuff again, I want to make sure that I read this since it just came out really recently. Could be fun. Yeah. I don't know if it'll be good, but Hopeless Junction's good.
Let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
We may or may not have a guest. I might cast around. Our Melty Pods. Melty Blood just feels like the kind of thing that I'm like, we should have a guest for a Melty.
Oh, right. I should, I will put, we should put a link to the itch page on this or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is Malcatraz Maiden by Nadia Nova on itch.
How long was that post junction?
It took me 2 nights of playing, but for like an hour and a half each.
Okay.
So
I might do that as well.
Oh, okay.
We'll see.
There's fully animated spanking on this itch page. Made spanking. So that's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else? Questions next time? Melty Blood X next time? Maybe a guest next time?
One day let's reunite in the digital scene.
Oh, wow. Keep changing that.
I don't know. Is that, what did I say last time? One day let's meet again in the digital scene? Okay. I do like that better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One day let's meet again in the digital scene.
Things go hand in hand,
Ben. You about ready to get started? Yeah. Take your time. I have to finish up the intro.
Come on,
but...
little bastard.
I'm so sorry. It's all my fault. It's always my fault.
It is. But I still love you. One second. Alright, this is your penance. The notes just went into the next cloud folder for this episode.
Common, except for their brevity. Which, and what's the other thing they were doing? Kohais.
Kohai.
And the first and only... God's here to talk about. It's your tea time.
Why isn't this thinking? You can't access these yet, can you?
I'm looking.
Shut up.
Did you put them in the... Oh, yeah, I got them.
You got them? Okay.
Yeah.
Mine says the sync is pending.
That's so many.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
No, it's just... That's funny. Podcast, current app. Paste them in there. Okay. You ready? I'm ready.
Okay. This today is... Why is there loose estrogen on my desk?
That's an excellent question, Ben. I always feel a little like naked recording without someone on Discord, because yeah. I'm like, how should I fill my screen? We don't really have like notes for this episode.
We do a little bit.
We do have notes.
Yeah,
I'm just saying that like there's not.
This episode definitely feels a little loose.
Yeah.
Dear listener, you can listen to me take my HRT and my daily multivitamin. I'm old now.
You're not old.
But I'm still trans.
I wouldn't have you any other way.
Me neither. It'd be fucked up.
Ben is taking chewing. Gummy vitamin? Gummy multivitamin?
Yes,
okay.
Gummy multivitamins. Oh. I tried the chalky chewable ones, and they sucked ass.
Yeah, gross.
And I still have whimsy. I'm not taking one a day multivitamins. Pills.
No. For listeners who are invested in my, I did make it home with all of the treats that I got from the bakery this week. No self-inflicted tragedies this time.
I would have actually cried.
I would have felt really dumb had I once again managed to inflict a tragedy upon myself.
I would have made fun of you on podcast, you know, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have actually cried in real life. I'm not being facetious. I would have been so bad for Fan.
You're so kind to me. I'm just a silly little fox.
All right, I'm almost ready. I'm putting on my compression glove that makes my wrist hurt less.
Mm.
Readying myself. Pulling up the intro doc.
Oh, right. No, we don't even need to clap or anything.
You want to clap? Here, clap with me.
I'm so proud of Ben.
Yes, I'm old now.
You had a birthday.
Older every day.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oof. Ouch.
Is there any other Yuri Tea Time stuff you were going to bring up?
I don't think so.
It's almost the end of the anime season, and if you want to hear our thoughts on the current season of anime, which are... There are highs and lows this season. You'll have to subscribe to our Patreon.
There's one of the best anime that I've ever seen. And two of the very few one-star rated anime that I'm watching also.
We got compliments. We got dunks. We've got whatever the fuck is happening in Shumatsu Train.
PowerPoint slideshows. when is Movie Maker transitions? Windows Movie Maker has better transitions.
Fan. This is for the Patreon episode. That was a sneak preview of our Patreon episode about seasonal anime that'll be coming out in July? July.
Yeah, I think it'll be July.
We should have that Marin's Movie Minute up, finally. I just have to edit it.
It's
been my birthday, so cut me some fucking slack, listener.
Welcome to Fate Moon Archive, a podcast about waiting through 20 years of Type Moon. I'm your host, Fen. My pronouns are Fae Fair, and joining me is...
I'm Ben Enns. My pronouns are, oh shit, I'm forgetting now. They, she. Fen, are you okay? I feel like one of these episodes you're going to be stricken with a mysterious bout of anime girl amnesia or something like that. We're going to have to record a whole podcast episode where you're trying to work out what the podcast is about.
Sorry. I'm going to have to do that again.
Oh, you want to do that bit now?